much about. So easy. You got to put it in
perspective. How about those quarterly write-offs? And did you hear about the merger? Also, we all need to go in on those flowers for Beth. Oh, Wednesdays.
Who are you again?
Gina from sales. I have the plant on my desk.
Oh, yeah. You want to sit with us?
We'll all be dead so soon.
If you don't mind, I will begin at the beginning.
It's a new day. Let's get going.
1, 2, 3.
Bad boy!
4, 5, 6.
B.I.G. Ah!
Everything I'm setting out to do is to establish a legacy over the course of one day. Is it going to be easy? Yes. It's about playing the game you love, playing it with intensity and honor, and crushing ass. And by crushing ass, it means getting with the ladies.
And now, pick up the phone and get the names and numbers of everyone who's part of this underground railroad of perverts.
Our feature presentation.
Morning, everybody. Brand new Kevin DeBean Show. It is Wednesday morning. It is the 24th of February.
What's up, you guys?
What is up? Just indeed.
Working.
Oh, are you? Is that what you call it? You guys watch any of the, you know, I love the weather. And this El Nino, right?
It's insane.
You say that because there's been hardly any rain? And they said we were going to be underwater?
No, the El Nino, yeah, they still say the rain is coming. But the El Nino has just been crazy. And this is not what I'm going to talk about. Oh. I'm just going to mention this briefly. But the El Nino has been crazy. And there are atmospheric conditions occurring now that they've never seen before. And did you see the tornadoes happening yesterday throughout the South?
I did not.
So you got to pay more attention to the weather, Kevin. That's
I got to tell you, the weather is well below the news.
And if you don't watch the news,
come on now.
You're certainly
God's
not
sakes.
Watching the weather.
Don't watch the news because I'm a kid.
The weather.
Alabama, Georgia, and Louisiana yesterday had tornadoes like crazy, like everywhere. Tornadoes everywhere and water spouts like all these water spouts, one right after another, just sucking the water up into the sky. It was just insane.
Hmm.
But no one else. No one else is rigid at this moment over the thought of it.
Not really, no.
And what's the deal, Kevin? This sounds like something you'd be into. What's the deal with the guys who see that there are tornadoes in Louisiana and they jump on planes to go there so they can rent a car and drive into and film the storms? What's the storm trackers? What are they about? Or storm chasers, I guess.
I don't know, although I am the guy that would go outside to see one. Mm-hmm. I am that guy.
Yeah, but you also would be close enough to your house you could run back inside if you felt like it was getting dangerous.
Right.
These guys drive
into the middle of it.
Yeah, they're driving into, hey, there's a tornado. Let's see if we can catch it, you know?
I don't know. I think it's just testosterone, trying to get a thrill.
It's not for me. It's inexplicable.
Yeah.
Okay, I'll move on.
All right.
We got a big show today, a lot of stuff to talk about, but I want to start with this story. You know, rent is tough for a lot of people.
Rent is too damn high.
I hear the rent is too damn high. I've heard that, actually, yeah. And nowhere more than in the San Francisco Bay Area, where there has just been a tech explosion over the last 20 years, and regular people, quote unquote, almost can't afford to live in many parts of that area anymore. And Burlingame, California is one of them. And there's a story in the news right now about a woman named Marie Hatch. She has been living in a cottage in Burlingame since, well, the year is not listed here, but it was during President Truman's administration. So a long time.
Okay.
She's been living there. Okay. 66 years she's been living there. Her original landlord was a friend of hers who said, I'm telling you now, you can live here until you die.
Okay.
All right. Well, then the landlord, her friend Vivian, died, and then her daughter inherited the place and kept the same agreement with the woman, and then she died. And then her daughter had the same agreement with the woman. Oh, you can stay as long as you want. As long as you're alive, you can live in this apartment. Well, unfortunately, then the granddaughter died. So this
She's
lady,
killing them.
Marie, no, she's not. She's 97.
Okay. Well,
that
she's
doesn't 97. Mean
it's still a little odd that mm-hmm. three people have died and she's just kicking it in the
common
cottage.
Common denominator here.
So she's 97 and she has outlived three landlords
wow.
in a row who have all said, and by the way, you already know where this story is going because
sure.
this isn't written down. This is, you can live here until you die. Well, the fourth landlord has just served her with her 60-day notice to vacate
oh,
the house
geez.
Or be tossed out by sheriff's deputies. She is 97 and has cancer. She is obviously single and long retired. She says she will probably end up on the street if she has to leave. She does not have any other family members that are alive. She has no place else to go, and she has lived there for 66 years. I have a lot of tears, a lot of happiness, a lot of memories in this house. It is my home. Where can I go? She does have a roommate who has been subletting from her for the last 32 years. That woman is 85. So between the two of them, they pool their Social Security checks together, and the rent they have been paying is about $900. However, as I mentioned, computer people, now the property is worth well over $1 million, and the new landlord goes, what up? It's my property. I can do so much better with this money, right?
Right. You could increase your income by a lot.
By a lot, yes. So
I'm not sure that the 97-year-old said what up, though.
Probably not. This is the new guy? The new landlord,
yeah.
by the way, inherited the property from his wife, who was murdered by her boyfriend, who is currently serving an 11-year prison term for voluntary manslaughter. That's kind of a weird PS on this story.
And was doing it because 97-year-old, I think Allie and I were onto something.
I really think, like, you I think need she, you to kill the bumped
off. Oh, you think she's yeah. pulled the strings?
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he says, look, I inherited this property, and those assumptions weren't really written down, so I'm just trying to, you know, I'm just trying to unwind it here, and it's my property to sell. So, I mean, I guess every landlord may have thought at one point, well, old biddy can't live forever. But she sure is, and she looks
yeah.
healthy despite having cancer. She's 97 years old. So what's going to happen to this? What's going to happen here? I mean, this is going to be the type of thing that will catch fire online, and people will come forward and throw money at this old lady, right?
Absolutely. She'll have
Probably,
sick condo overlooking Ocean Beach by the end of this.
Like a GoFundMe page, and the next thing you know, she's richer than all of us?
I hope so.
I hope so, too. I mean, look, I understand it's your property to do with as you please, but you can hang on if a woman is 97.
Yeah.
Although, we had Flossie on the other day. She was 110. So
it's true.
Maybe this guy is going, yeah, if I knew she was going to die this year, I wouldn't have given her the eviction notice, but she could live another 13 years. So that's probably what's going through his mind right now. So anyway, I'll keep you posted. We'll see what happens. But poor Marie Hatch. I mean, that's a tough piece of paper to open, isn't it?
Sure is.
Are you excited for your party?
Not one bit.
So we'll see what happens, but good luck, Marie.
Are you excited for your party?
What?
What's going on?
Oh, dear God. All right, let's talk about today's Kevin Abicho, shall we?
Black women don't like you.
Oh, Kevin.
Honestly, most women, I think.
Let's yeah,
just,
let's
just
not
put that out there.
Let's not just make black women.
Adam Carolla is on the program today. That's your impression of him? That's your impression of Adam?
No, I had some.
Yes, it was.
Had some food.
That was your impression of Adam Carolla.
Clean up a little bit.
Wow, you do good work. We'll recap the People versus O.J. Simpson last night.
Hell yeah! How great was that episode?
I loved it.
How great was that episode?
I loved it.
How did Marcia Clark not commit suicide during that trial? It's the saddest
Seriously.
Thing.
Yeah, it's craziness.
They
going
pile on.
The scenes.
I mean, she can't. She's getting stressed from everywhere.
Yeah, I'm surprised that she made it through the trial. This was
I
only.
Am too.
Yeah,
this is before the trial started so far, right?
Yeah, they're in jury selection.
Been broken. Yeah. Long ago.
It's insane. Also on the program today, thanks for that tweet, Bean.
How dare you?
Is what we're asking. Mm-hmm. And Eric Andre joins us in studio. Is that good?
No. He's my ultimate foe. You know I hate him.
What
you know
went
that.
On with
I
you two?
Him.
Nothing.
Oh, you'll find out when he gets here.
Nothing.
I know it was awkward and weird, but Bean.
Because he goes out of his way to be as disruptive as possible in every situation.
The first time we had him on, Bean was on vacation. Mm-hmm. And he was, I know this is hard to believe, Bean, but four times as manic and crazy as he was the next time when Bean was here. And Bean, Bean doesn't do fun.
He
likes orderly, and he likes things going a certain way.
Well, a conversation. I like, hey, let's talk about stuff. Let's ask questions, and let's learn a little bit about you. And he's not into that at all. He's into, look at my penis on Instagram. That's what Eric Andre's into.
Oh.
Sure.
Can we move on? What time's it coming in?
He's one of the stars of Man Seeking Woman, so we're going to talk to him about that. We'll take a break. We'll come back with the Showbiz Beat next. 106.7 K-Rock is K-R-O-Q. This is the Kevin and Bean Show. It is 5:53.
All right, Allie, here's the update on 97-year-old Marie Hatch
that
you're waiting for.
No!
A GoFundMe page has been created.
Yes.
It is currently at $26,015.
Wow.
So she is going to be on a blows and hooker run any minute now. So
blows?
There you go.
Yeah, she's going to do all the blows.
Right?
Legos.
Nobody is just a bigger white nerd.
I am white nerdy.
I've been doing lots of blows. Oh, what's that? All the party time.
Perhaps I could have said that.
Oh, no, but anyway. Like it just like it was.
So you're smoking all the pots, too. Yes, indeed. Dropping all the pill.
My point is, she's not going to be living in a ditch, as we feared when the bad man throws her out of her home.
Ditch.
That's all. All right, it is a Wednesday, I reckon, and it's time for the show.
What the hell's going on? Stay on the ranch. I'm here with Spin and Marty. If it's anything can happen day.
Here's Ralph Garman.
Is it really 1957 in Washington this morning? Did you wake up in a different time period?
I can't explain.
It's always 1957 for Bean.
I don't know what's going on.
Sweet Lord in heaven. It's
too much blows.
That's all the blows he does.
Right?
You know me, I love to parties.
Who's got some weeds?
Can't.
You all right, Allie?
It's too much.
Speaking of 1957, this is going to stun you. This is going to shock you. You know, that's when Divorce Court first started airing on television.
No.
1957?
Yes.
Wouldn't it have been such a scandal to get a divorce back then?
It was. That's why it was good TV. It is TV's longest-running court show of all time, leading the second-place show, The People's Court, by 5 years. The news is it just got renewed by Fox Television in syndication for throughout the 2019 season. So Divorce Court with Lynn Toler will be on through 2019. It's already been on for 36 seasons.
I don't think I've ever seen that.
I haven't either.
You've never seen a Divorce Court?
I never even see it on my on my grid, or maybe I just glossed
over
it.
Maybe it's not on your grids.
No, I'm saying it's not even like I feel like I've come across it and had the opportunity to watch it. It's just it's never even been on my radar before.
Well,
radars.
It's been on for 36 years. I don't know how it's avoided.
I just haven't
radar.
Gotten to it yet. That's all.
It's magical. It's magical. It's the best of all the court shows.
Is it really?
Oh, I got to watch.
Far. Because most court shows are like dan 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 dan. The plaintiff is concerned because the defendant drove his car and broke an axle. He's looking for $400,000. Divorce court is like, that bitch slept with somebody else! And they're just screaming and yelling and accusations and hurt feelings. And, it's the best.
And these people, you're guessing, probably just go on the show because it's free legal advice, right? I mean, they probably don't have to pay for it. It's a way to get a divorce without having to spend
divorce.
Money on an attorney. Yeah,
yeah. So, yeah, check it out if you get a chance.
I don't have time.
Do it.
Maybe in 20
years. You heard me. Speaking of shows that have been on a long time, can you believe ABC's The View has been on for 20 seasons?
Wow.
Whoa.
Doesn't it seem like it just came on television? Not just,
no,
but
because
but
I don't watch it.
Fairly recent,
I have
but you've been aware of The View.
I have to listen to Bean talk about it a lot.
Yeah, it's
over the dude, they lost me. All the people I liked are off the show now, so I don't watch it anymore.
Who would that be?
The people that used to be on it that I used to like.
Like?
Name one of those people for us.
You know, all those former hosts.
Name
Ariana Grande.
Ariana Grande?
I think it was Ariana Grande. Yeah, that's who it was. Why do you bring that up, Rob? Has it been renewed as well? Are we in that time of the year where
renewed,
they tell us?
Okay. Renewed again for a 20th season. It's craziness. Michelle Collins is on there right now. She's a... the comedian I did The Bachelor Live with. She's very funny person. I like her a lot, so watch that for her, then, if you're so inclined. And, these Kardashians. Rob Kardashian.
Yes.
Just big, doughy failure. Sock line Rob Kardashian. Just bought a 4,256-square-foot home in Calabasas. Four bedrooms, huge kitchen. Just bought it.
Yeah.
If you or I had a failed sock line, we would not be buying a home in Calabasas. That would not be happening.
Correct, yes.
Stop it. Stop it.
Stop what?
Them being them.
Okay.
By the way, Kris Jenner is telling friends now, according to sources, that she's afraid Kanye West could be the end of her family's run in the spotlight. That's the only thing Kanye West could do to make himself likable.
I love Kanye.
He'd be
now.
The most popular man in the world if that was the case. So keep on keeping on. That's what I'm saying. Have you guys seen the trailer for Kindergarten Cop 2 with Dolph Lundgren?
Yes,
I have.
I watched it after you brought it to our attention. I think it was last week, and it's something.
Like good something?
No.
No.
It's stunning. No. It is.
It's stunningly bad.
It rattles you to your core.
Almost. I need to go see it bad.
Really?
Almost.
It's surprising, coming from the writer-director of Tremors 5, that it could be such a failure, because, as we know, 5 was the tremor to remember. I don't think that was on the poster. Anyway, they've got a release date now. May 17th, it's going to be released on DVD, digital HD, and on demand on the 17th. If you want to check it out in May, so you want to circle your calendar there.
So they're bypassing a theatrical release for Dolph Lundgren's Kindergarten 2.
Yeah, this is a direct-to-video release, but now we know when we can watch it. So, Kevin,
I'm busy on it.
Let us know how that is.
I'm busy on that.
Oh, right. You know you're watching. It was better than I thought, because my expectations were low going into it. Today's celebrity birthdays. Actress Kristen Davis. You probably know her best from Sex and the City, right?
Charlotte.
Yeah, 51 years old today. Billy Zane. Oh, Billy Zane. Titanic's Billy Zane.
Mm-hmm.
The Phantom. Billy Zane. Love the Phantom. 50 years old today. Floyd Mayweather Jr. is 39. Is he still a boxer? Is he a thing? Does he do
anything?
Retired.
He's retired, yeah.
And O'Shea Jackson Jr., he is 25 years old today.
Let's hear it for O.J. Jackson Jr.
O.J. Jackson Jr.?
It's O'Shea, I think.
I mispronounced it. I'm sorry. O.J. Jackson Jr. celebrates his 25th birthday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
All right. We need some help.
Yes, you do. Mm-hmm.
To settle a small issue of a guest.
You should go to divorce court with Lynn Toler.
1-800-520-1067. If you're up and you're willing to help us, call now, and we'll discuss in a minute. But there's a deadlock on the program, and we need your help. So call now. We'll talk to you next.
We want you to go to Coachella on us here at K-Rock. A pair of sold-out 3-day passes to the festival. Plus, you get on the standby boarding list to see any band on the bill anywhere in the world. Get the details at K-Rock.com. Your chance to win is coming up. What? What are you laughing at now?
While you were talking about Coachella, our producer Dave was...
See how the mic works?
I did hear somebody unwrapping his lunch from
aluminum
foil.
Have you noticed how crooked this mic is?
Yes, we tell you that every time a guest comes in and you blow us a lot.
Why are we using this mic?
Oh, dear God.
It's terrible.
All right, I'm glad Dave is here, actually.
Because really?
Because this conversation does involve Dave, and I appreciate the callers that are on hold. We will get to you in a moment, and we do need your help. Now, one of Dave's jobs as producers is to be here by 6:30, 6:45 most mornings.
How's that working out?
One of his jobs as producers is he's the focal point of the show from the outside world. So if somebody wants to get to Kevin and Bean, they've got a request, or they want to pitch a guest or something like that, or they need us for something, they go through Dave. Dave's our point man. So Dave's job then, every day after the show, is to come to us and say, I got some pitches for you guys. And then he runs down a long, monotonous list of things we would never have on our show. Like, hey, do you want to talk to Sam Rubin about the Oscars? That's the sort of thing that Dave comes to us with.
And we say, why would you even bring that
why
up?
Why would you even? And then Dave's like, it's my job, you guys. I just have to put it in front of you.
They come to me. You'd be upset if I didn't ask you.
So Dave came up with a guest pitch this week that I, Bean, was very excited about.
Yeah.
I thought it was full of possibility.
Right.
Because it combined two of my favorite things in the world. These guys don't see eye to eye with me on this. So the conversation went on and on and on as we batted it around. And then the decision was made, well, then why don't we see what the listeners would enjoy? Why don't we get them involved in the decision making? Because who knows? Maybe we're misreading the situation and the Kevin and Bean audience would love this guest. So, Dave, why don't you tell us what the pitch is, please?
All right. Guys, would you be interested in having on Miss America 2016 Betty Cantrell to promote National Pancake Day on March 8th?
Yes, please.
Yeah.
Now, think about what that would be, like when we're doing it.
And being on the radio.
Yeah. And Bean always chastises us like this. Oh, I was just thinking about how it would play out on the air.
Yeah. No, we'll pitch like this. Like, hey, let's get this person from this TV show that we all love. You know, they're not that famous, but we all love that show. Like, oh, just imagine you're talking to a third-rate player from a show that most people don't watch. So imagine what that would sound like on the air.
So we were like, you know, no thanks, because seriously, what are we going to say to her? Hey, you're hot.
Right. Right.
Congratulations, and aren't pancakes wonderful?
The best case scenario,
right,
is, hey, pancakes are good, and you have a crown. Enjoy your sash, but that would be it.
That's best case.
But what I'm saying is, it's National Pancake Day, a
right.
day that constantly trends on Twitter, Facebook, social media, everywhere. Everybody's talking about it.
And I'm saying
it's
eat a pancake that day.
You know, you know what everybody's
and
talking about? This is what the tweets are. Isn't it a dumbass thing that there's
no,
a National Pancake Day?
No. And,
hashtag dumbass.
And also, Miss America can talk about how much money that National Pancake Day raises for the kids.
Or we could just read that in one sentence.
Right. No.
Yeah, I feel like we don't need her in here
and
to right, put that statistic
out. America. And the pancakes raise money for the kids? What kids?
Yeah, how does that
and how does
happen?
It work?
Just kids in general?
The Children's Miracle Network benefits from it.
See, little kids
the Shriners
with cancer.
Hospital.
Yeah.
Bean,
that was not part of
leukemia, lymphoma.
That was
not part
of
anyone's
pitch.
Argument yeah. In the office.
Okay.
Bean
well,
was
what
like,
I'm saying
hey,
is,
wouldn't it be great to delve into her day-by-day activities?
Because
Miss
we
America?
Can also get a behind-the-scenes look at what it takes to be Miss America.
That's pretty interesting, by the way. I agree
no,
with Bean.
Oh, sweet Jesus.
I agree with
Bean. It takes a pair of high heels. It takes some Vaseline on your lips so you can smile and a lot of hairspray.
Well, I want to know about that.
Let me you
jump,
should ask her. You should call
let
her
me jump
up and
in
ask
here.
Her. You should have some pancakes.
Put her on
her.
Your podcast.
Let me jump in here for a second.
Yes, Bean.
Part of the reason I said, hey, I sometimes say, hey, imagine what it's going to be like on the air is because I'm one of the people who has to be involved in
right.
the interview. And sometimes I just don't have any interest at all
right.
or any questions for or anything to say to some of the
right.
people.
Right. So now all the other people who take place in the interview feel that way.
Right. But I have so much love for hot chicks and for pancakes that
okay. mm-hmm.
I can talk to her for an hour is
I'm
what I said.
Say,
I have an inexhaustible list of things that I want to talk to Miss America about pancakes with. You know?
What?
Miss America about pancakes, man.
What's happening up there?
Why do you hate the kids, Kevin?
We do the blues
why do you hate
her?
The kids?
I don't hate the kids, but I assume, like Allie, that we could put that information out if we wanted to.
How about if I write a check to Shriners Hospital? How about that?
That would be great.
Then money will go to the kids,
all right,
and we don't have to talk to a dumbass Miss America about pancake batter.
What is it interesting about being Miss America? The type of person that chooses that career path.
Is that even on television anymore because no one watches it?
Yes,
isn't that
it's
like
on
a
television.
Isn't that like a failed beauty pageant that no one gives a rat's ass about anymore?
There, I would say that Miss America is the most significant beauty crown in the country.
Of Bean. All the significant beauty
yeah.
crowns?
Yeah, right?
Sure.
Bean, we've had Miss America's in before, haven't we?
Yeah. Probably a long time ago. Yeah.
And it's
but
always
bad. To revive the tradition.
It's always bad.
Right.
It's bad radio. It's good for us in the room.
Why do you hate America?
Miss America's,
that's a great point,
Miss
Dave.
Americas, by the way, are all groomed and pre-fed their answers, and they're all sanitized, and you don't get anything honest out of them. It's all pre-packaged. It is radio death.
That's because I haven't dealt with them yet.
Sit down. Add pancakes, and now
you got yourself a show.
Now you just have a radio coma.
All right. So my voting against it is Bean's going to be A, creepy.
For sure.
Nope. And or B, talk endlessly about pancakes, both of which are death.
Death. All right, listen. I feel like we've laid out the pros and cons that we discussed in the room. I think it's time to go to the listeners as they help us. What's it called? Book our guests? Book our guests.
Book a guest. best. Book our guest. Put this argument to rest. We need help and you can help us. Don't make me sh** on Bean's chest.
Oh, wow. Wow. Escalated quickly.
Turn. Wait, I'm changing my vote. I voted yes now.
That was right. There. It wasn't me. What are you looking at me for?
Let's just take a couple of calls. Are we put any number on this, or are we just going to have a conversation with a couple of listeners?
I'd say best out of five, maybe.
Nice. Oh, we're going to do it like a vote, like a scientific survey vote.
Yeah. All right,
let's just take them in order. We'll start with our man, Kyle. He's been kind enough to call from Carson this morning and has been on hold and has been listening to the conversation. Kyle, welcome to the show, sir. How are you?
Good morning, everybody.
Hey, Kyle. Hey, Kyle.
So, Miss America, talking about National Pancake Day, is that something you would be happy or sad to hear on the Kevin and Bean Show in March?
I'd be happy. I think it'd be a short stack of awesomeness.
Yeah!
You son of a bitch.
So, Kyle's short stack of awesomeness, he says.
Sounds like he's in. All right, thank you very much for the vote, sir. We appreciate that. Hey, that was the wrong sound effect. You wanted this one, Kevin.
Oh, that one, right.
Let's see what Jason in L.A. has to say. He has heard the evidence for and again.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Radio death or our yummy goodness?
Or dodgeable.
Yummy. Book our guest, Jason.
Well, look. I think you guys have managed to defy the laws of mathematics with this one, because I love pancakes, I love Miss America, but you put them together, makes a negative, man. Come on.
Yeah, oh, Jason.
Jason, the voice of reason.
Jason speaks truth.
Possibly save this.
So you're saying it's two great tastes that do not taste great together.
Exactly.
All right. All right.
Interesting. All right. That's it. Right, I mean, you're wrong, but I appreciate you calling. All right. So it's 3-1 yes. So
Jason
far,
hates
right?
America and the kids.
No, we've taken two calls. It's 1-1. Okay, let's see what Ted has to say. He's in Corona. He's on line 3.
Hey, Ted.
Hey, good morning, guys.
Book our guest.
Miss America, good idea. Miss America talking about pancakes, worst idea ever.
Thank you, Ted. Boom. Thank you.
Wow.
All thank right, you, Ted. Hurts.
He's a teacher. He knows things.
All right. Let's go to Thousand Oaks, see what Rich has to say.
Hey, Rich.
Hey, good morning, everybody.
You understand we have the opportunity to talk to Miss America.
Again, that you can't see out there pancakes. In radio land, nor can you taste your
pancakes. Oh, well, can't taste the pancakes
we'll
and you can't see the pretty girl.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll what do you think, Rich?
Well, could she tie in world peace?
Yeah.
I'm sure she'll work it in somewhere.
Let's do it, Rich.
All right, pancakes and world peace, I'm in.
Yeah!
Oh, see, that's a fake vote.
Nope. Yeah.
No, she's not. We're not tied in world peace. That's just not
a
thing.
What if she doesn't?
But that's all their spiel. They always do that, didn't they?
Yeah, that is what Miss America is all
too late.
About.
We got a yes from Rich.
What if we all can't right, so, promise world peace?
We're at 2-2, you guys. Thank you, Rich, for the call. We're going to go to Dane
you know,
on line
7. Rich is a guy in Nevada who says, hey, wouldn't it be funny to vote for Donald Trump?
Yep.
That's what he is.
That's happening right now.
Right. Won't be so funny then, will it?
Dane in Northridge. Hi.
All right, Dane.
Hi, morning.
Dane, I hate to say this. I hate to put all this pressure on you, but we're deadlocked at 2-2. Are we going to be having Miss America on to talk about pancakes or not? What say you?
Only because I think Dave is phoning this one in. He's like the Rob Kardashian of the Kevin Bean Show.
Oh,
I like it.
I'm going to have to say no.
Oh, yes! Listeners hate America and hate the kids.
That
I am disappointed in you
felt
all.
Felt so good.
Oh, man.
Good work, Pete.
The People versus O.J. Simpson was on last night. I think we're up to what, episode 4,
yep.
Say? Oh, it's been so good. It's been so good. But I always look forward to on Wednesdays talking to the Juice and telling him about it and hearing his views. That's coming up in about 15 minutes or so here on the Kevin and Bean Show. But first, this is a story out of Houston, Texas. KTRK Channel 13 in Houston has the story about a woman who went in for surgery. You'll hear that she was trying to get rid of her baby pooch. She'd had some C-sections, trying to firm up her tummy. She is 45 years old. Her name is Lori Jones. She emerged without a belly button.
Oops.
She has no navel, and she's not happy.
Eric, this local woman says this doctor right here left her stomach churning and without a belly button.
Doc, where's my belly button?
This
reporter. Oh, man, this reporter could go right to hell.
This reporter left her stomach churning and without a belly button. Doc, where's my belly button?
Doc, where's my belly button?
What happened to it? Did y'all throw it in the trash? Where is it?
That's Lori Jones. She's 45 and says she finally saved up enough money to get rid of her awful baby pooch after having C-sections.
By the way,
Who says baby poo?
That's my question.
I don't know.
Baby
poo, is that like the accepted medical term now for whatever is going on with the lady's stomach after C-sections? Because he just throws baby pooch out there like that's a – I mean, is that what everybody calls it? Is there no medical name for it?
I call it something else, but I don't think it's appropriate.
All right.
She wanted to bring sexy back and wear a two-piece bathing suit.
Yes. Summertime is coming.
Look, I have no business deciding who's allowed to bring sexy back and who's not.
Right, correct.
But Lori Jones, you are not. You are 45, you've got like 30 kids, okay? You're not bringing sexy back. I mean, right?
How dare you?
So she did her research and had several consultations, and after that, she decided to go under the knife. Houston plastic surgeon Dr. Yana Nazardin performed an umbilical hernia removal and tummy tuck surgery in December of last year. And you may recognize the doctor. He's world-renowned, focusing on gastric bypass surgeries for obese patients. Dr. Nazardin is even featured on the TLC show My 600-Pound Life.
It's a good show.
All right.
It's a good show right there. So she did go, I mean, she went to a guy. She certainly had every reasonable expectation that he was going to be good based on his fame and it being on TV, right, I would think?
Sure, sure.
So she was surprised.
Joan spent a month not completely seeing her results because...
the surgical tape and the gauze that's on it, I can't see the incision.
But when she took off the tape...
I stood in the mirror and noticed, wait, where's my belly button?
Now... help me out with this, Allie. How big of a deal is it to not have a belly button?
It's huge. What do you mean, how big of a deal is it?
I mean,
you just have smooth skin where there should be a hole? That's a problem.
Why is that a problem?
Do you ever need or use a belly
it's
button?
It's not useful.
Ever.
It's just for so you don't look different.
I mean, the
than
only reason you have a belly button is because that's how we're born, is attached to our moms, right?
But if after that, a belly button is never thought about, considered, talked about,
she
even looked at again.
She did this for the reason to wear a two-piece bathing suit. You're going to see her lack-o belly button.
It's never thought about until it's gone. And then when it's gone, I feel like people would look and say,
what if I went in for surgery and all of a sudden, oh, shoot, where'd my left nipple go? That's a problem.
Especially if you're having knee surgery.
I think that is completely different.
How?
Well, for starters, a nipple is part of the sexy part of a breast.
A lot of people think a belly button's sexy. If I'm in a two-piece bathing suit, you're not going to see my nipple. But you are going to see my lack-o belly button.
I mean, if I woke up tomorrow without a belly button, I feel like it would affect my life zero.
Yes, but you're not a girl, first of all.
Mm-hmm. Well.
And you don't wear two-piece bathing suits.
Well, yeah.
Okay, it could be wrong on both of those.
By the way, Lori Jones should be wearing a two-piece bathing suit.
Wow. Jones claims before the surgery, the doctor did not warn her of the risk of losing her belly button.
It was going to be in place and repositioned, and the hernia was going to be fixed.
We caught up with the doctor outside of his Bel Air practice.
Now, the doctor, by the way, Dr. Nazardin, is having none of this. He is basically accusing her of pretending to be upset about not having a belly button anymore. So he is really...
he's the bean of doctors.
He is throwing shade at Lori here. Listen up.
Did you tell her before?
Well, we did tell her before because she had previous surgery in that area and she had a scar. And there's no unearthly way to save that area.
He told me that it wasn't sectioned right. My belly button would be resectioned.
We can call the Hollywood and get Oscar nomination for her.
Boom!
Oh, drop the mic,
it's
Doc.
It's on.
Get an Oscar nomination for her because of this outrage she's claiming from not having a belly button.
The doctor says he can recreate Jones' belly button after 6 months of healing. But she says no. She wants to settle it in court.
I don't like.
Okay, so let's say now you be the judge, Allie. You're the one who's all upset about losing your navel. What's it worth to not have a belly button? What do you think this woman should get if she gets into court?
$100 million.
Yes.
A completely useless spot on
your
stomach.
You're missing the point.
You're trying to turn the belly button into a thing. It's not a thing.
No, it's
a belly button
it's an
is
afterthought.
A thing.
It's a thing if it's not there.
Right.
It's an afterthought. It doesn't matter whether it's there or not. It's like an appendix.
What?
It's like an appendix.
except for an appendix that everyone else has and everyone else can see?
How much money should Lori Jones get? She thought she was going to have a belly button. She came out. She took off the bandages, and it wasn't there. What's that worth?
Boy, I have no way of judging that.
$150,000.
Really? You think so?
Yes.
I think it's a hearty handshake and a slap on the ass.
Oh, come. It's a botched surgery.
It is a botched surgery. Unless they did explain it to her and get her signature and whatnot. But I don't know that that happened.
Well, I don't know either, but I don't like it.
Well done.
Okay. That's our new segment. I don't know either, but I don't like it.
Tuesday nights on FX is a program called The People vs. O.J. Simpson American Crime Story. Last night's episode was number 4, and we watched it and we loved it, and I can't wait to see more. And every Wednesday morning, we go right out to Nevada to the Lovelock Correctional Institute and get the Juice himself, Mr. O.J. Simpson, on the phone to discuss the episode. Hey, Juice, how are you?
Greetings from Lovelock. How are you guys doing today?
We are good.
I'm so glad to hear it, because I'm just trying to be a good guy, whatever that is.
I know you are. Hey, listen, I heard that one of the guards that is working there at the prison has a book coming out, and that he says that you told him that you thought Cuba Gooding Jr. was too short to play you and that his head was too small. Is that true?
I mean, come on, look at me. I'm a big guy.
Big guy. Football player.
I was a football player. Yes, thanks for clarifying.
Wait, this is OJ?
Yeah, I'm OJ Simpson, a.k.a. the Juice.
Ah, the Juice, right.
And I think Cuba Gooding Jr., I think he's a good actor. Show me Daquan, Where's the Money, all that stuff. But I think he's a little bit too small in stature to make a convincing OJ.
And he has a tiny little head, too.
He's got a little tiny pea head.
Okay. All right. Kevin, you've got some audio we can play for the Juice and discuss some of the things that happened in the real-life trial all those years ago.
Because don't forget, I can't see the show in prison because there's no cable.
Right.
It's just a reset.
Right. So the first clip that I have is Johnny Cochran and Robert Shapiro. And the episode was a lot about race and how it's going to play and who's on the jury and who's not on the jury.
That sounds controversial.
And here we go.
We know we have a downtown jury, which means a heavy concentration of African Americans.
Indeed. Black men obviously are our allies. Black women, they don't like their men marrying white girls.
That analysis is smart. The prosecution thinks they have the upper hand, but they don't, because we have you. Mm. And you know how these people think.
These people.
Oh, no, he didn't.
He did.
He went to the people?
He said, you know how these people think. Yes, he did.
I'm just glad he didn't say the blacks.
No one would say that.
No, that'd be horrible. That's absurd. And racist to say.
There's a lot of talk as people come to grips with the racial aspect of this trial when it's unfolding, saying things like, well, you know, there's a downtown jury and things like that, Juice.
Yeah, that was the name of my boy band. Downtown Jury. We had that one hit. Oh, my love is sharp as a knife.
Oh, wow. Nicole Simpson's best friend, Faye Resnick, wrote a book.
And what a friend she is.
It was a major part of the episode last night. She talks about a lot of cocaine use, which is nice for a best friend to write about her dead friend.
Nice.
And then they're discussing it. You're reading the book, OJ, in last night's episode, and you put the book down. You say it's ridiculous. There's nothing to it. Then you hear something, and you pick the book right back up.
I wouldn't lose sleep. Book is trash. Be forgotten in a week.
Lesbian sex, 197.
What?
Yeah.
Lesbian sex, 197, and you picked it right back up.
Look, I'm just a man.
Right. Sure. Yeah.
And you love reading.
I do. I love to be educated.
All right. This was a surprise.
And my wife did do cocaine with Pedro Guerrero.
That's what I understand.
Yeah. This is something that I was surprised by, and I had never heard of this before, but Faye Resnick says that Nicole regularly gave what they called a Brentwood hello.
Yeah.
Here you go.
Yeah, it's like
what else can I tell you about Nicole? She loved to give a Brentwood hello.
I'm sorry, a Brentwood hello?
It was a little joke we had. Where she would go into a guy's bedroom while he was asleep and, you know, go on him.
So Nicole was kind of a goer, huh, Juice?
Well, she wasn't a goer. She was a visitor. Becky would visit you. She wouldn't go there, but she'd, okay. she'd cruise by.
Right.
And she would give you the old Brentwood hello. I like the Cleveland steamer.
Oh.
Only it's a much better neighborhood.
Yes, it is. It sounds like, no disrespect to your late wife, but it sounds like she had a lot of boyfriends.
Do you even hear the jokes, man?
Yes. No, we got
I'm
it.
I'm reading from a script.
No. I got the joke.
This is all I got.
No, the joke landed.
No, I did. You just, I mean, moving on. You got a place, you got a dental appointment or something today?
No, we all laughed. We're all
trying to have fun.
I thought so too, but that's me. You don't want to have no fun.
We laughed about the joke. We got the joke.
Oh,
we enjoyed
mind.
The joke.
Go but ahead, then we... play the clip.
Maybe, OJ, can you reset again like you did earlier?
Once again, I can't see the show here in Lovelock because there's no cable. Just to establish the premise.
All right. What's the next clip, Kevin?
The next clip, they finally, at the end of the episode, get it settled that now Johnny Cochran is going to take over first chair and not Robert Shapiro. And they do a pretty cool slow-mo where Johnny Cochran is walking into the court.
So when I'm hanging with the clique and we in the man, I feel good that the city of angels call me Black Superman.
Yeah! Big boy in the neighborhood!
Juice, you're missing a hell of a show, man. You should try to get cable.
I should try to get out of prison is what I should get. I can't believe Nevada. First of all, Donald Trump won the election.
Yeah, yes, he did. He sure did.
And they say I'm dangerous?
Right? 106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 6:53.
That's right. It is time for the original Rodney on the Rock show.
Yep. No.
Some new music here.
Yes, it is.
No. And plus all your favorites, things you heard last week.
Great.
And weeks before and weeks in the future.
The future.
Right here on Rodney on the Rock.
All the things
and
we heard.
Here are the Monkees.
Weeks in the future.
How are we going to hear music from the future,
because
Rodney?
Because you know he's probably going to play the Monkees.
Okay.
So you can bet on that even in the future.
All right. It is a Wednesday morning. Ralph is here. Time for another look at the Showbiz Beat. What is going on, my friend?
First, I want to remind folks, Friday night at the Improv on Melrose, Kevin Smith and I returned to the stage with Hollywood Babylon.
No.
We had a particularly fun show last week, and we're looking to have another one. Come on out and join us. Go to Improv.
No.
Improv.com is the website to go. And come out and see us, and we have a pretty good time.
No, you're wrong.
Speaking of friends and show business, I watched my first ever episode of NCIS last night.
The most popular television show in the United States of America in 2016?
We did establish that last week, that CBS had all top 10 rated TV shows
right.
for the week.
And three of them were NCIS shows.
There was three NCISs. And my buddy John Cryer was on NCIS last night.
Oh, no kidding.
So he mentioned that to me, and I said, you know what? I'm going to watch my first ever NCIS show because you're on it. So CBS should send you a fruit basket or something because they're getting one more listener, or viewer, rather. And I tuned in last night, and I watched the episode, and I got to tell you, it's pretty damn good.
Really?
It's pretty entertaining.
Now, which one, forgive me, Ralph, which one is this? Is this the OG?
The OG,
NCIS?
Yeah. Okay. I'm not wasting my time with NCIS New Orleans.
Or Los Angeles.
or Pacoima, NCIS Pacoima.
Who stars in this one that you just watched?
This is Mark Harmon, the dreamy Mark Harmon.
Oh, the original, okay.
As Gibbs.
All right.
And... John Cryer was kind enough to let me know that there's a drinking game that goes along with CIS.
Okay.
Anybody, somebody says, Gibbs, you take a drink. And so I passed out around 27 minutes into the episode.
That's why you enjoyed it.
Yeah. But it was very entertaining, and I was surprised because, you know, we poo-poo sometimes. We pshaw.
Yeah, we do mock those CBS shows.
And I know it's for an older skewing demographic, but it's solid television entertainment right there, the NCIS.
You going to keep watching?
Not so much, but I'm saying... I can understand now those who watch and enjoy.
Right. All right.
Yeah.
CBS cares.
CBS cares. And I care about CBS. Hey, it's time for the Hadid sister update. You know, of course, we do this as a daily feature, the Hadid sister update. Hmm. What are the Hadid sisters up to? Models, of course, Gigi and Bella Hadid are in the news. And I like to keep people abreast of what's happening with those girls.
Yeah, you do.
See?
Right.
See what you're bringing, Ralph?
Gigi is mad because publishers keep photoshopping out her many, many moles. She has numerous prominent moles on her body, most notably on her neck and torso. And she says it upsets her that publications like Vogue or Victoria's Secret constantly airbrush and Photoshop her moles off of her. She wants to have her moles. Okay. And her fans apparently are very upset. They want to see more moles.
Okay.
There's a strong contingent of fans that apparently have a fixation on Gigi's moles. Leave Gigi's body moles alone, tweets one fan.
Can we sign a petition or something where we can
make a difference? I feel about online petitions, even for Gigi's moles. I saw them at the Trouve last night, by the way. They were great fans. Yeah.
Unless she has some sort of, you know, photo approval on the job she's doing, I guess they have the right to do that.
But what about the moles?
What about the moles?
Oh, those moles. That's a game of connect the dots I'd like to play, right? Huh? Who's with me? Hello? Is this thing on?
Yep. Now, she's the one who's with one of the Jonas Brothers, right? And then Bella, her sister, is the one that's with The Weeknd, if I'm keeping my celebrity straight.
Yeah, she's no longer with the Jonas Brothers.
Oh, she's not.
She's with someone in One Direction.
Okay.
Why do I know that?
Hard to keep track.
But you're spectacular. Meanwhile, the rest of the Hadid sister update, Bella, as being mentioned, is dating The Weeknd.
Weeknd.
Look, I'm looking at his name right here.
I know how it's spelled. I'm just saying that's how it's said.
We found out last week, by the way. You know why he spells it that way?
No.
It's a trademark issue.
Oh, really?
Because there's a band called The Weeknd. And so for an order for him to record, he had to alter his...
Just took the E out and then it was all
his
right?
His nom de music, if you will. Mm-hmm. And now he took the E out. Now he's The Weeknd with no E.
All right.
Anyway, a lot of rumors, Kevin, that they're engaged, Bella and The Weeknd, because she's wearing a ring on that finger, as they say. She was spotted leaving a London hotel with her boyfriend, wearing what appeared to be an engagement ring. However, representatives are telling TMZ there's no engagement until he gets another E. He's holding off until he makes the last payment on his name and puts up that E down there at the Weeknd store.
You don't want to end up with a guy in letter debt.
No. Then it becomes your letter debt. Then you owe an E to somebody. And that's not good for anyone. Hey, 200th episode of The Big Bang Theory happening tomorrow night. Just give everybody a heads up, because the greatest person in the world is going to be on it. Adam West, TV's Adam West, guesting on the 200th episode of Big Bang Theory. And while we're talking Batman, great story.
Who's Adam West?
How dare you! Speaking of Batman, a story coming out of England. Darren Wilson is his name, and he is... made the papers in England because he just spent a year and a half completely converting a room in his home into a bat cave.
Oh, he so smokes you.
Wilson is a sculptor who fastened paper mache stalactites and stalagmites to wooden joists and mesh attached to a ceiling and floor, and then painted the room with six different shades of gray paint, making it a replica of a cave.
Oh my god.
It was spontaneous. There's nothing I could have done.
Oh, good for you. And how was it?
Yeah. He puts all his merchandise in there, you see.
Right.
Oh, it's a sweet ass room. You got to go online and look at it. It's a sweet ass room.
Don't have to.
If you had all the money, Ralph, would you somehow, somewhere, recreate a bat cave?
Well, I did my office in the home. I redecorated it to be a bat cave esque.
Mm hmm.
But mine is just more implied. I mean, the walls are gray, and there's a floor that looks like the color scheme of rocks and stuff and everything. And I've got furniture painted red and black like the Batmobile and things like that. So it's all implied. But I don't think I would like to actually spend a lot of time in a room that had stalactites hanging from the ceiling.
You don't really need your own cave.
I think that would be depressing in some certain way.
Dangerous.
And dangerous. Well. You bang your head on a stalactite, you know what's for, right? Today's celebrity birthdays, actor O'Shea Jackson Jr. is 25.
Let's hear it for O'Shea Jackson Jr.
So close. Floyd Mayweather Jr. is 39 years old today. Billy Zane, he turns 50. And actress Kristen Davis celebrates her 51st birthday today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Adam Carolla on the program later on today. And Eric Andre will be here, too.
Yes.
Love Eric Andre.
I know you do. From the Eric Andre Show and Man Seeking Women. He will be here.
Yep.
He's going to be on the show.
Love him.
He's going to be our guest.
Right.
Can't wait.
Ralph did a story a couple of days ago that prompted a discussion that I think we need to have with you, the Kevin and Bean listener, about the type of people that go to morbid, creepy death locations. That's what we're talking about. Demi Lovato was on The Tonight Show the other night. She did a Christina Aguilera impression that was very, very good. But in part of the interview that she was doing, she said that she and Ariana Grande had taken a trip to the Charles Manson murder house. On February 19th, they got together and took a late night hike to the Charles Manson murder house. They were terrified, they said. They walked on foot to the house at night. And just thinking about all the, you know, obviously the tragic, awful murders that happened there, they freaked themselves out. But they still went. And why?
How come?
Why? I mean, that's a great question, Kevin. I couldn't have asked it any better myself.
Right.
So what is the deal with the people who go to the places is another way to ask that question.
Sure.
We had Harvey Levin on the show a couple of weeks ago, and he talked about how he had – this was some years back, but he had visitors in from out of town, and he drove them over to the alley where O.J. allegedly killed his wife and Ron Goldman. And again, that's a why do you need to go and why do you want to see that place?
I think that's a huge tourist destination. Mm-hmm. A lot of people go there.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know. I can't. And you do that stuff sometimes, don't you?
I do. Yeah. I mean, I'm one of these people, and I thought about this because I knew we were going to be having this conversation. By the way, we want to take your calls. If you're the person who goes to these places you want to see in person where tragedies have happened, we want to hear from you at 1-800-520-1067. I thought about this yesterday because I knew we were going to have this conversation. And I'm not sure that I can articulate it because when you go there, it is pretty much a, yep, there it is. It's not like you see the thing happening. It's not like there's even, in most cases, any kind of remnants of what happened there.
There aren't reenactors?
There aren't reenactors.
Okay.
The place has usually been scrubbed pretty clean, so there's really nothing to see.
So what have you gone to?
Well, I drove by.
Did you go to the Unabomber's house or something?
I didn't do that. I didn't find his cabin in the woods. No, I didn't go,
find or didn't look for?
Didn't look for his cabin in the woods. I have been to the apartment complex where Jeffrey Dahmer captured and killed his victims.
Okay, so you went outside of that apartment?
I did.
And
yes.
Did what? You
don't
just
know
went,
what.
Yep, there
don't,
it is.
Yep, there, yeah, literally, yep, there's all that. And some of it is I've seen that place on TV a bunch. You know what I mean? Like when the story unfolds and it was famous and you know what it looks like. I went by the Chelsea Hotel in New York where Sid Vicious killed Nancy Spungen. I walked by that just to go, yep, there it is. That's the famous place that, you know, they wrote the songs about and stuff. I've been to that. I went to the In Cold Blood house in Iowa. I think it was four people got killed in that house. Truman Capote wrote a book about it. It became a very popular, famous movie as well. But again, you drive by and it's somebody else's house now, and it's 40 years ago. There's nothing that exists that ties what you're looking at to what happened, except that it happened inside those walls. You know,
mm-hmm.
There's not a plaque or a movie or a memorial or a tour or anything like that.
Put up a nice plaque. Jeffrey Dahmer.
You won't believe what went down here.
I don't.
You can't explain why that's interesting to you.
For me, it's kind of. For me, it's.
You
like
love death.
It's well, mm-hmm. I do love death. It is a tourist. I mean, there are the same things that you would go to a tour for the same reason you go to Mount Rushmore. You go to the Jeffrey Dahmer death apartment because you go. That's a famous place. I think that's all it is. It's just a famous place.
But I think Mount Rushmore, specifically, is an amazing architectural feat.
Right.
Right. But
if you go outside a house, it's just a house.
Right. It's just an apartment that happened to be the site of a thing. Right.
Right.
But at least don't discount out Mount Rushmore. All of those presidents up there are dead.
Right.
Good point, Bean.
Okay.
Allie, what do you think? We're going to take our calls here. We got a bunch of calls at 1-800-520-1067. What do you think it is? Get inside my head and tell me why. Tell
I'm not
me
going
why,
in there.
Why I would be attracted to a place like that, or why anyone would. Why Demi Lovato and Ariana Grande would go, you know, want to see the Manson House.
At first, I was thinking people like to be scared and people like to feel a little off sometimes.
Right.
But Bean doesn't. Like, Bean doesn't watch horror movies, so ruled that out.
Yeah, true.
But I feel like...
I think he admires what was done there.
No, not at all.
I think that's what it is. He goes,
not at
yeah,
all.
Yeah, good work, Jeffrey Dahmer.
Look, and I'm, solidarity.
But I'm not an aggressive person. You guys know that. I don't get in fights. I'm not trying to hurt anybody. I mean, I think I'm a very peaceful person. I don't know what it is about it. But maybe our listeners can help us. Maybe they can figure it out at 1-800-520-1067.
Let's start with Robert. He's in Huntington Beach. He says he's visited lots of murder sites. So maybe he's a good one to start with.
All right, Robert, hi.
Hi, how you doing?
Good, thank you. So you're drawn to these sorts of places. Where have you gone?
I've gone to where the Wonderland murders happened in Laurel Canyon. Mm-hmm. Where I 2 weeks ago, I went to where Nicole Brown Simpson was killed.
Okay. Stop right there. Is this because it's kind of back in your brain because of the TV movie on FX? You're thinking about it and you thought, hey, I live close to there. I'm going to go by and see it?
Yep, that's right.
And what happened when you got there?
Well, nothing happened. I mean, I just went there. They've changed it from what it looked like back when it happened. So, I mean, this is a wall, and you could see part of the hallway. And we went into the back alley because when you had Harvey Levin on, he had mentioned the alley, so we went back to the alley. But
right.
There's nothing really there. You just
right. Are you when you walked away from there? Was it somehow satisfying, or was it that was a waste of time?
It was kind of like a. I saw it. I'm good. Don't really need to go back there again type
okay.
thing.
Okay, but you did need to go there once. It's on.
Yeah. I also went to the where JFK was assassinated in Dallas. So
I don't know how you – I mean, honestly, I don't know how you go to Dallas and don't want to walk the grassy knoll and look at the book depository and in your mind trying to figure out that shot. I mean, that at least makes sense because there's a mystery.
It would never enter my mind.
Yeah, I don't think
really?
Mine
either. Even with all the movies and all the talk?
No,
and,
because you know what? I've seen it in the movies and I know what it looks like.
Yeah, I'll just talk to Beer Mug about it.
And nothing's going to be different.
JFK.
Right, but when you get there – and tell me, Robert, if this is what you did. When you get there, you literally go to the spot where he was killed in the car and you stand there and you look up at the little window all that distance away and you try to rationalize in your mind whether it was possible that he made that shot, didn't you?
Yeah, absolutely. And then on the streets there are X's where those shots were, you know, happened, and you kind of see where the angles are, and that goes through your mind for
sure. So Kevin, you would go to Dallas and wouldn't go to the JFK assassination.
It would never enter my mind. I wouldn't have to think, hey, maybe I should, maybe I shouldn't. I wouldn't even think about it.
What are we going to do with Kevin, Robert? There's something wrong with him,
right? There's something wrong with me.
All right, sir. Thank you so much for the call. We appreciate that. All right. Everyone else, hang on. This is a fascinating topic. We want to hear from you. Where did you go and why? 1-800-520-1067. Your call's next on camera. Demi Lovato and Ariana Grande went to the Manson murder house, or so they said on the Tonight Show the other day. We've heard from several listeners, by the way, who say that that house where Sharon Tate was killed was torn down years ago. So I don't know what Demi was looking at, but that's people are calling that into question. But that was her story anyway. She wanted to go see the place where that happened, and that's the discussion on the table, which is, are you the type of person who goes to morbid murder sites? We're talking to you at 1-800-520-1067. Why don't we start with, let's start with Darren. He's in Glendale. He's going to talk about a place in Los Angeles, Kevin, that you could live here 500 years and never want to go to. Hey, Darren.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Good, thank you.
Good morning, Allie.
Good morning.
Yeah, this was at the old Ambassador Hotel years ago. I'm a camera assistant. We're actually filming a TV show down in the kitchen where Robert Kennedy was shot.
Oh.
And not related at all. It was a TV show called Tales from the Crypt. So we weren't even there for the murder. But we have a camera sitting right over the tile that was pulled up where he was shot. So it was kind of bizarre.
Wow. And so you didn't go down there specifically to see it, but while you were there, it kind of gave you some feelings about being in the spot where the thing had happened.
Yeah, I mean, it was a long time ago. I was really young. I didn't know who he was at the time, really.
Right.
Over the course of the day, they were telling me what happened, who he was, people that came and pulled up the linoleum tile that were souvenirs over the years. So it was interesting.
How about that? All right, thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Hey, what about the types of places, historical places, where people have died, like Pearl Harbor? You have any problem, Ken, with people going to the Pearl Harbor, seeing the Arizona Memorial?
No, at least there's a memorial there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, at least there's something to see.
Same thing as World Trade Center site or the Alamo or something like that. At least there's something to see. In other words, you're not just driving by a house going, yep, a thing happened there a long time ago.
And I feel something.
All right, let's go to Eva in Maine. Oh, we just lost Eva. She just hung up this very second. Eva, you bitch! Because I noticed that this was almost all guys, and I wanted to get a girl's perspective. Let's try Nikki. She's in Ontario. She's on line three. Let's see where she's going.
All right. Hey, Nikki.
Hi. Good morning, Kim and Bean. Good morning, Allie.
Hi, Nikki.
What about these creepy people that go creepy places?
I've been to a few. I've been to London and did a walking Jack the Ripper tour. So we went to each site where there was a murder.
Okay. Right. Let me stop you right there, Kevin. How about that?
Just no interest.
That actually sounds fun.
It doesn't appeal to me in any way.
All right. Where'd you go after that, Nikki?
I've also been on, I went to Nashville last year and we went on an open air hearse ghost tour.
Okay. That's awesome.
Went to various music murder sites all over Nashville.
Wow.
Kevin, how fun would that be?
I don't get that.
Okay. At least there's some entertainment value in that, though. At least you're part of a tour where you've got a guy telling you stories and stuff. I mean, there's some value in that, right?
Sure.
It's not just walking by a place and looking at a building.
But sort of that, though, Bean. It's got a little window dressing, but it's just walking by a place where a thing happened.
All right, so Kevin says no to that one, too, Nikki. I'm sorry.
No, I just don't get it. I don't understand why. And Bean, you tried to figure out why, and you can't put it into words either.
I honestly don't know. Connie and Cindy write in, we are both huge Nirvana fans. We were on a road trip. We decided to drive up to the house where he ended his life. It was very strange. We were unable to take photos of the home out of respect. R.I.P. Kurt. But it sounds like they were still glad they saw it. Let's go to Nikki Los Angeles. She's on line five, please.
Hey, Nikki.
Hi, how's it going?
Good, thank you.
I went to the Amityville Horror House on the way to the Hamptons in New York. I was on a train. I got off at the Amityville stop and walked up to the house.
Now, this is a real life house that the movies were based on, where those things allegedly happened in real life. And the house is still there and still standing, or was it the time you were there?
That's correct. They've remodeled the house a little bit, so it doesn't look as daunting, but it's still got those creepy eyes.
Why did you want to go there?
Because I love horror movies.
See, that's what I was thinking. There's certain people that like horror movies that are drawn to that. But then there's other people. I don't get why Bean does. I don't get it.
Because Bean isn't into horror or being scared.
But see, what Nikki's talking...
He's into sweet death.
What Nikki's talking about, though, is a horror movie. I mean, she's going to a place where...
It makes perfect sense.
It makes perfect sense. But most of these people that are talking about things that aren't in the movies. They're talking about real-life events that happen, and they want to go see the places. Let's see what Jason says. I think he might have a theory on line one. He's calling us from Woodland Hills this morning.
Hey, Jason.
Hello. Good morning.
Hi there.
What's going on? Diagnose us.
What happened for me is I read Helter Skelter when I was 14 years old, and coming from a small town in Canada, as soon as I came down to California, I was like, I want to go check out where the Sharon Tate murders took place. I don't know. It was just one of those things. And eventually, I think, like all these famous murders, they turn into kind of like a weird, sick pop culture kind of thing for me.
In other words, it's nothing more than the place is famous. So I want to see it.
That's right. Pretty much.
Okay. All right. Thank you for the call, Jason. Appreciate that. Let's do a couple more real quick. Let's go to Tyler in Hollywood. He's on line three. He has a friend who got married in a death site.
All right. That's another level.
How about that to start off your marriage on the right foot?
Hey, Tyler.
I know, right?
Thank you, Tyler.
You've listened so much, you now believe the F word is acceptable.
All right. I don't know why my good buddy, they got married at Chateau Marmont, and it was where John Belushi died, where they stayed in the same bungalow.
They stayed. And they actively said, we want to stay in that bungalow because of?
I don't think it was necessarily because of that. I mean, obviously, it's kind of hard to get reservations or, you know, get married at the Chateau, so they kind of probably got what they, you know, their cards were dealt. But they said they didn't feel anything sketchy, you know, in the room, but outside they could feel the energy. But I thought it was pretty interesting still just get married where the comedian got, you know, overdosed.
You know, it's so weird because a lot of famous people have died in hotels, and then hotels have to deal with what are we going to do with that room now? Because there are always going to be people who want to stay in the room where Whitney Houston drowned in the bathtub in Beverly Hills. And they're always, I mean, they just are. So in some cases, what they do is they rearrange that floor. They tear the rooms down and move them or change the numbers so that you can't ask for that one anymore. I mean, it's just that they're kind of put in a tough spot when something like that happens. But your friends dug it, it sounds like.
Yeah, I mean, he was into it. But it's also, to go back on the Sharon Tate thing, they did. They tore down that entire site and built, like, a mansion on top of it.
So Demi Lovato is a big, fat liar. That's our takeaway today, Tyler?
Big fat. She's hot, but she's a big, fat liar.
All right, dude. Thanks for calling.
Good enough. Eric Andre will be joining us in the next hour on the World Famous K-Rock.
Yes.
Bleh.
Yes.
This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:38.
Once a month, our little friend Chip, who runs the controls here in the studio, says that she has the worst job in America. Chip, what did you have to do yesterday?
I had to look at your tweets.
Why do you say it like that?
Because she should get hazard pay. That's why.
It's time for Thanks for That Tweet,
Bean. Thanks for That Tweet,
Bean!
Hello. Oh, here. There I am.
Hey, Ralph.
Hi.
So, Bean tweets, and then bad things happen. Now, before we read these, Bean, I would like to clarify ahead of time this time.
You don't need any more information.
We don't need further explanation.
No clarification, correct. No context.
Okay, good, as long as we're on the same page.
I hear what you're saying, but
do
sometimes
you really? Do you really hear what he's saying?
Yes. Look, there's nothing wrong with my tweets. And again, I have to point out to you guys, following somebody on any social media is completely voluntary.
Well, we don't follow you, but we make Chip look it up.
Right, but what I'm saying is, obviously the people who choose to follow, at Clyde Tumbaugh, they must enjoy it or they wouldn't continue to follow. So maybe it's not for you, but maybe it's for them.
Maybe they're just in the crossfire, though. Maybe they're just walking down the street and then they get hit on the head with a safe. That's what I'm saying.
Well, I don't know what you could possibly have to complain about with the latest batch of
tweets. That tweet.
I'm standing by them all.
Let's take a look.
Fun true fact. At the Grammys tonight, the Eagles accepted the 1978 record of the year for Hotel California, as they'd skipped it that year.
Okay, now how is that not an interesting tidbit to share for people who were watching the Grammys and saw the Eagles on TV performing while they were there during a commercial? They also got handed a Grammy. I think that's interesting.
I was there and I didn't care.
First of all, you start by saying fun, true fact.
It is a fun, true fact.
Isn't fact true by definition true?
I thought people would think I was joking if I just wrote
because it's
fact.
Such a lame-ass tweet?
They got their Grammy for Hotel California that night.
Oh, and you thought that fact would seem like a hilarious joke that you were making.
I just was trying to be clear.
You also said fun at the beginning of that tweet.
I thought people watching the Grammys... Allie, you would have found that interesting if you had read that, right?
Yeah, but not fun.
Okay.
Just, oh, that's something.
Okay. And that's best case scenario.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
Writing a strongly worded letter about the unnecessary England Dan and John Ford Coley diss on tonight's vinyl on HBO.
Wait.
All right, you saw that episode, Kevin. They heaped it on England Dan and John Ford Coley as if they were the problem.
And you care a lot about that?
You know who doesn't care? Even England Dan and John Ford Coley.
Well, unfortunately, Dan has been dead for a number of years.
He's the lucky one then, because he didn't read that tweet.
You do remember that I own EnglandDanAndJohnFordColey.com, right?
Yeah.
So I took this one pretty personally when they start dissing my boys.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
43 years and 1,000 spins later, and I still just stayed in the car to hear the last half of Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
What kind of update is that? People drive around going, I wonder what song Bean just heard the second half of.
I wonder what Bean does when he hears Papa Was a Rolling Stone on the radio. Ooh, I hope he tweets about it.
Look.
Oh, he only got half. Oh, what a bummer.
Oh, I'm surprised and stunned. Fun, true fact.
Here's the thing, you guys, is that's just a way of complimenting a masterpiece. That's all I'm doing.
We don't need you 48 years later to give your opinion on Papa Was a Rolling Stone.
And that ain't right.
See what that guy said.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean!
I think it's been around long enough and it's withstood the test of time enough that people can just
assume it's a good song.
It's a really good song,
okay.
though.
Okay.
Right, fine.
That's all given.
No one is arguing that. Saying.
No need for the update.
No one was saying, hey, doesn't that song suck now?
It just struck me. Milk comes from cows. And there's certain things that are just okay. We don't need you to comment on.
So too obvious. That was the problem.
Thanks for that tweet.
Bean.
When someone asks you, what's the time? The only acceptable answer is, it's time to get ill.
You can't.
Hashtag facts.
Right, hold on a second.
That wasn't me. That was the kids.
You have the sound effect of the kids. You can't do that for yourself.
The kids
That's against
love the
rules.
Beastie Boys. Allie, did I hear a little chuckle from you?
I was laughing at the kids breaking in.
Oh, but no love for time to get ill?
I don't hate it.
Tweet.
Bean. I don't hate that one, Bean. I don't hate it.
Thank you, darling.
You're welcome.
Just came home to find my dogs intently watching a Planet of the Apes movie. So I guess now I'm on notice.
Oh, dear Lord in heaven.
The apes
That's
movie?
Right, tweet.
Bean.
Movie get together
we
and organize and overthrow the humans.
Your joke is your dogs are going to overthrow humans.
Yeah, it doesn't even make any sense.
Yes.
It's not even well structured. If you had a pet monkey that was watching Planet of the Apes, then maybe you have something.
They seem like they were too into it.
Maybe the dogs watching Cujo would be more of a warning.
I was just nervous.
That's right.
Tweet.
Bean.
And lastly, my fellow toast enthusiasts are asking about my plans for National Toast Day.
Oh, dear Lord.
I celebrate privately now since it's gotten so commercial.
Bean is a toast hipster.
Well, I'm a toast enthusiast, first of all, as you know.
Also a hipster because now
hipster.
That it's become famous, you don't want any part of it because you were on it before everybody else. You're a toast hipster.
I've always loved National Toast Day, but here's my point, is now it's so commercial because now there's sales and there's songs and there's the crowds. I don't want to have any part of that. So at some point you pull out and you celebrate privately. That's all I'm saying.
And I'm saying that makes you a toast hipster.
How dare you?
Thanks for that
tweet.
Bean!
106.7 K-Rock is KROQ. This is the Kevin and Bean Show at 7:52.
Here's why I always look forward to when we have time on the show to do Kevin and Bean's What's Good, where listeners can call on any topic at 1-800-520-1067. A couple of days ago, how mad was that guy about pizza and the crust that people were using in pizza?
Yeah. He was very upset.
Furious about it.
Yeah.
We wouldn't have gotten to that. We wouldn't have realized that there was a pizza divide going on in this great land of ours if we hadn't taken his call. And we had a call about The Walking Dead and a bunch of other great topics. So anything on your mind that you would like to get on the show, something we're not covering that we should be, you've got a comment, you've got a question, you've got a complaint, we want to hear from you. 1-800-520-1067. Kevin Beans, What's Good? You take over the show coming up just after 8. First, Ralph is here with the Showbiz Beat. What's going on?
Speaking of pizza, did you know that there's a science behind why when you eat pizza, you often just keep eating it way past the point of you being comfortable? Have you ever done that? You ever sat down and eat a pizza and
every
you just
time?
Have piece after piece after piece and you're like,
it's so good. You
I'm
can't
stuffed.
Stop.
Hand me another one of those. I couldn't eat another bite except for that next piece there. Give me that one. And you just eat to the point of making yourself sick sometimes.
And there's
it's
a science reason for that?
It's science. They're called
and is the answer
foods.
That pizza tastes really good?
No, they're trigger foods.
Trigger foods.
Mount Sinai School of Medicine identified a bunch of trigger foods, foods that make people eat them until they are uncomfortable.
Okay.
Or made them feel tired after eating. They are highly processed, and they're loaded with extra fats and sugars, and those things, when they hit your bloodstream, create an instant addiction.
Wow.
Pizza's the number one.
Is that right?
Most addictive food on the list, number one.
Cheetos.
That's your guess for number two?
Cheetos,
really? Or chips. Chips. Yeah, you just keep
chips
eating
is a pretty big category.
Gone.
Actually, these are all categories, so she's closer with chips than she is with Cheetos. Chips is third on the list.
Okay,
suck it,
most
Kevin.
Addictive.
How about to chocolate, Ralph?
Chocolate's number two on the list. Chocolate is a nightmare.
It is. I mean, it's hard to eat a little bit. I'll tell you that.
You've ever had one Hershey's Kiss?
No. Why would
you?
Can't
you?
Do it.
Have
can't
you ever
do
had
it.
One Reese's Piece?
No.
Nope.
Reese's Piece.
Yeah, it wouldn't be pieces, would it? It'd be a piece. One peanut butter cup.
Oh,
when you open the two-pack?
Yeah, you can't save for later. There's no way.
Cookies, fourth on the list.
Oh, yeah.
Cookies.
Do you guys remember that time a few years ago where I bought and consumed an entire bag of Oreos cookies? That's all three sleeves of Oreos on one drive. Ate the entire thing. I think we figured it out. It was something like 18,000 calories or something like that. It was something absurd.
But good work.
I was in a car. It was just me and the Oreos. It's not like I could put them in a shelf or go to a different room or something like that. I was in a car with Oreos. I had to eat them all.
You were locked inside with the Oreos?
No, I was driving.
Bank? Did you have a blowout? You'd shoot a flare off so people would find you?
No, I was driving. But I'm just saying, to your point, Ralph, is there comes a point where you realize you're making yourself sick, but you're addicted. It's so good you can't stop.
Yeah. There's that, and then there's you and your behavior in the car. That's just mental.
That's weird.
I thought this one would be higher, but it's number five on the list. Ice cream.
Sure.
I've downed a pint by myself way after.
A pint? A gallon?
You start with a pint.
Well.
Right?
But Kevin, most of yours ends up smeared on the walls.
That's possible.
So it doesn't really, you don't ingest it as much as you do decorate with it. you want to guess any more in the top 10? We've got the top five.
Other addictive foods.
How about soda?
Soda, Kevin, number eight.
I was going to say alcohol.
People drinking way too much soda.
Macaroni and cheese.
I'll give you partial credit. Cheese.
Oh,
cheese
okay.
is 10th on the list.
What about pasta?
Pasta, not in the top 20.
Oh.
All right. Well, now we're making bad guesses. Just fill us in.
French fries was 6th.
All French fries.
Cheeseburgers, 7th. Cake.
Right, you just said that
cake
four times now.
9th on the list. I've had too much cake. Bacon was 11th. I thought that would do higher, too.
Come on, bacon, get with it.
Breakfast cereal, 15th. I thought that'd be higher, too. I've just had the box in front of me and just watching television, just bowl.
I eat more bowls of cereal than I should when I sit down for cereal. Absolutely.
So those are your trigger foods, people. Now you know.
So it's not our fault, then. We can just say if we're overeating, it's science,
right?
That's right. Not us.
Shia LaBeouf is a giver. You know, he was doing that performance art piece where he spent 24 hours in an elevator at Oxford University?
Yes.
And another art student got on the elevator and said he is also a performance artist. And he needs to fulfill his performance art. He needed Shia LaBeouf to punch him in the face. Shia LaBeouf initially balked, saying, "Oh, man, you want me to punch you in the face? I don't want to do that." To which the student responded, "Do it. Don't be such a pussy."
Did he scream at it? "Do it! You can do it!"
Everyone in the elevator started to laugh at him, and they eventually reached a compromise. LaBeouf agreed just to slap his face really hard. And he did it, and you can hear it on the video. It's available on YouTube now. You can hear it. It's weird, because I don't know if you saw how he shot this.
Yeah, you couldn't see anything.
But the camera was outside the elevator doors.
It was?
Yes.
Oh.
So you're hearing everything that goes on, and then when the doors open, you see people get in and out, you see Shia in there, but then the doors close again. The majority of that whole experiment was just audio.
Right.
So if you go to find that
video, that's why I was so bored by it.
You'll see the doors, and then you'll hear the slap inside, and then you'll see the doors open and everyone laughing and spilling out. So Shia LaBeouf, giver, face slapper, American.
Make your dreams come true! Just do it.
Friday night improv on Melrose. Kevin Smith and I are taking the stage again with Hollywood Babylon. Come on out and join us. We have a good time. At least they tell me I do.
No.
I'll see you in the bar afterwards if you stick around. Friday night, 10 p.m. Improv.com is the place to go to get tickets. Let's look at today's celebrity birthdays. O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Let's hear it for O.J. Jackson Jr.
He's 25 years old today. I didn't know O.J. and the Jacksons even had a kid together. It's crazy. Floyd Mayweather Jr. is 39. A lot of juniors in today's birthday. Billy Zane, best of my knowledge, not a junior. He's 50 years old. Kristen Davis from Sex and the City turns 51 years old. What was she on before that? She had another big show. Was it Melrose Place?
Yes.
I think, yeah.
Sure was.
51 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Eric Andre joins us in studio in about 15 minutes or so right here on the Kevin and Bean Show, of course, from the Eric Andre Show, and also Man Seeking Woman, very funny stand-up comedian. That's coming up. First, though, how about Kevin and Bean's What's Good?
Like we always do at this time. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and testify. What's on your mind? Your time to shine. Come on and call us up and notify.
right, 1-800-520-1067. Kevin, we got some great calls, it looks like, on the line. I want to ask you, will we regret it if we talk to Line 4 Mike in Upland, or will we look back at the end of the show and go, man, that was a good talk?
We will regret that.
So let's go to Mike.
Mike, welcome to the show, my friend. Sounds like you had a hell of a day the other day.
Oh, man, it was all bad, man. I'm a truck driver, first of all, so okay. I just can't pull anywhere when in anywhere when I have to use the restroom. So
right.
I found the Vons, and, oh, man, there's always got to be somebody in there when you got to go so bad.
Right.
And,
okay, now just, hold on, please. Hold on. Do we want to continue with this?
I'm curious how it ends. But I'm confused. You said you're a truck driver. So what happened? You had to poop, and then you pulled over to what kind of place to get it done?
I pulled over to a Vons.
A Vons supermarket. Okay. All right. So you're in the supermarket. What happens next?
I go in the bathroom, and then there's one stall, of course, and somebody's in there, and I'm like, kind of knocked on the door, and I told him I had an emergency, and he said, "So do I."
And bad times at the Vons.
And just die for a minute, and it just happened. It just came out, and
So you're on the other side of the bathroom door, and you pooped yourself
against the wall, pretty much.
Oh my!
Wow! I'm really sorry about that.
Wow! I'm sorry about that. So how did you handle that with the people who run the Vons? I mean.
Oh,
you can't just walk.
Tell him,
right?
Where's your manager?
You can't just walk away from that. You can't just leave that as a bad surprise for an employee.
No, I would go get the manager and go, "Somebody pooped on the floor. You go clean that up."
What'd you do, Mike?
I had to wait for him to get out of the stall, and luckily, I had prepared myself with some wet napkins that, while I was waiting, still full of.
Okay.
You know,
okay. All right. All right. I think we got the gist of it. Thank you, Mike.
Do you need more details, Beaner?
No, I'm good. I didn't want to get into the specifics of it, but that's still a terrible place to be.
Right.
All right. Let's try Jesse, please. Anaheim, up next, line 5.
Hey, Jesse.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
What's good?
Hey, I wanted to. I know you guys talked about this already about the Kanye West fund, which is unbelievable.
All right, let me pause right there for listeners. Kanye West said a few days ago on Twitter that he is $53 million in debt because he doesn't understand what the words in debt mean. That's how much he's blown on his fashion line. And somebody set up like a GoFundMe page or something to give money to millionaire Kanye West to help him get out of debt. That's what you're calling about.
Yes, sir, this biggest piece of excrement. I can't believe that people are trying to give him money. This guy puts himself into debt and everyone wants to try and bail him out.
Are a lot of people donating money?
The good thing about it, it's only raised $8,000.
That's $8,000 more than I would have thought.
Exactly. I would have never given this guy anything. Hopefully this guy just drowns and just disappears.
And I'm a Kanye fan. I'm a fan of his art. I'm not a fan of the way he behaves. But I will tell you, the thing about a guy like him is he's never really in debt because he has so many ways to make money. He could make millions of dollars this week if he chose to. He wouldn't even put his album on sale that people want. He's basically turning down opportunities to make money, so he can't complain about a cash flow problem. But Kevin's right. I'm surprised to find anybody out there who'd be willing to donate money to Kanye West. That's for sure. But thank you for the update.
I was hoping
we appreciate
that would just disappear.
Yeah. Well, all right.
I don't think that's going to happen.
Let's go down to Pomona, line 7. This is going to be Arlette. She is calling about the new robot overlords that are coming to take over America.
Hey.
Hi there.
Good morning. So basically the rise of the machine starts with the hockey stick because Boston Dynamics released a video of their Atlas robot, which is another humanoid robot, and it works in a warehouse. But the video, I mean, it's really, really cool, you know, but it's also kind of creepy, and you feel bad because they're bullying the robot.
They are bullying. That's straight out bullying. He picks up a box, and the guy hits the box out of his hands with a hockey stick.
But the robot doesn't have feelings, though. The robot can't be bullied. It just tries to solve the problem, right?
Yeah, no, but it's like they knocked the robot down.
He did shove him from behind. He fell on his face, or where a face would be.
Yeah. These robots are incredible looking, though, aren't they, Arlette? I mean, don't they look like the type of thing we used to see in science fiction movies about what the future was going to be like with humanoid robots?
Yeah, it's super awesome. It's just, this is how it starts.
You're right. We're on notice. Allie, what'd you think about these robots?
It was so creepy and terrifying, and I couldn't stop watching it. It's amazing.
And it's not surprising that the guy that was abusing the robot is from Boston.
I don't think. I think it's just called Boston Dynamics. Oh, it's owned by Google. But good try.
All right. Thank you, Arlette. Let's go to line three, please, in Los Angeles. This is going to be our man, Jason. Apparently, he needs our help. Now, when we do the what's good, we always say comments, questions, or help. And Jason needs help. So go on.
Hey, Jason.
Hey, guys. How's it going?
Good. Thank you. What do you need help with?
All right, so I was talking with my girlfriend earlier, maybe about 30 minutes ago before I called, and half-jokingly I said we should name our first child's middle name, not first name, Kenobi.
Okay. All right, go on.
Uh-huh.
The more we were talking about it, the more I started thinking it was taking it as a serious idea, and she is strongly opposed to it. So I just wanted to get your opinions on it. What do you guys think?
I would like to hear from everybody on this, but if you'll allow me to go first, I think Star Wars is, I'm not going to say it's a religion, but it is something that is so pervasive and so popular and so widely known and accepted that I don't have any problem whatsoever with Kenobi actually being somebody's name, nor would I for Anakin or any of the other names that have come out of that movie. They're made up names, but now they're so well known and so popular that I think they're legitimate. I don't have a problem with that.
But 13 years from now, your kid is going to be beaten up. Because of his middle name.
Are you
That's
kidding me? The kid is going to be a baller because he's got a Star Wars name.
Be a baller.
Yes, yeah, because he has a Star Wars name. Because people love, look, people love Star Wars.
Yeah.
They
Do
love
you have
it.
Any other names or is that your only one?
I wanted Kenobi. She wanted
right
Luke. And I said, no, that doesn't count.
She was trying to make an only one Kenobi joke. We all got it out. What would the first and last name be to surround Kenobi, Jason?
Last name Romero, first name up in the air. Who knows?
I think
up in the air is weird.
The first name matters, I think.
No, Benjamin. Ben Kenobi Romero.
Dig
Boom.
It. Do it. Do
Boom.
It, Jason.
Not a problem. Seriously.
Done.
And you and if you need us to talk to the little lady, you get her on the phone, okay?
That's right.
That's
I will,
a service
guys.
We
Thanks.
Provide.
Appreciate it.
All right, Jason. You're doing the Lord's work, man.
I'm not sure that's true.
Thanks for calling me. The force be with you.
What's good?
Man Seeking Woman is a show that airs Wednesday nights on FXX, starring our friend Jay Baruchel, along with our other friend, Eric Andre, who joins us in studio right now on the Kevin and Bean Show. Eric, how are you, my friend?
Hi, I'm good. I'm a little under the weather. I apologize.
How'd you get the Ebola? I know you've been traveling a lot.
I'm
Did you pick it up on
zero.
A plane, or what
yeah.
happened?
I picked it on the plane. I had sex with the pilot, actually.
Well, the pilot?
While he was flying? Or
while he was flying in the heat of the moment.
Wow. That's exciting.
In the heat of the moment.
Sometimes you can't stop yourself, man.
Yeah,
I understand.
You know, worth it.
I came up with a great idea when I saw you walk in and the nonsense started coming out of your mouth. I thought, you know what? Eric Andre needs to host the Oscars. That's the show that would be impossible to not watch.
It's like you took the words right out of my mouth.
I mean, look, Chris Rock is going to be fine.
Yeah.
But can you imagine if Eric...
I would pay any amount of money
Eric,
to see that.
With those people in that room, with
yes.
you up there... with
you finally you'd have, understand me.
You'd have monkeys, and you'd have fire, and you'd
chainsaws,
have
snakes.
Yes. It'd be like Burning Man.
That would be so great.
And I just want to picture like Maggie Smith or somebody sitting in the audience in the horror. Like she wouldn't even be able to comprehend what she was looking at. I mean, you would blow that room's
yes.
mind, Eric.
And the pilot from the last joke would be there, butt naked.
Right, exactly. What I'm saying is you need to be – you have several shows and a very popular stand-up career. You need to be on more TV.
That
That's what I'm
true.
Saying.
Thank you.
It is true.
Thank you.
You go where you
I'm
want.
I'm on YouTube. I'm on MySpace.
So what have you been excited about when you haven't been working? What have you been doing? I know you went to Japan. That was a thing,
I
right?
went to Japan. I swam with some monkeys in a mountain in a hot spring. You can go to the hot springs. They're called onsens. They're like Japanese bathhouses. And I got to bathe with some snow monkeys.
That in sounds fact, scary.
It was a little scary. The monkeys little... jump in with you and the hot springs turn into a monkey toilet.
Oh.
Yeah.
Oh, no.
Good
so
times.
That's probably why I'm sick, to be honest with you.
No
I
kidding.
I probably should get blood work done.
It's not the bird flu, then.
It's the monkey yeah. monkey fever.
Did you have a reason to go to Japan, or is it just that was on
Pure
your
vacation.
List of
I do,
countries
I
you
do,
wanted to go to?
Yeah, my rule is at least one new country a year every year for the rest of my life. Mm-hmm. And I've done it successfully for the past 9 years. So I just always wanted to go to Japan.
And is it as weird? I've never been, but I understand that it is. It seems bizarre to Americans when they go over there because
it's
it is
awesome.
So different.
It's awesome, dude. It's like being inside a robot's vulva.
Go on.
Can I say that?
You got Allie's attention.
Yeah. Yeah, it's crazy.
Did you meet a lot of Japanese people, and what did they make you?
You're
going to
be surprised. I met a lot of Japanese people.
What? Weird.
There. Yeah, you're going to be
weird.
Shocked. Yeah, I went to a robot restaurant. I went to an owl cafe.
All right, slow down. Robot restaurant. What does that mean? The robots are waiters?
The robots are, like, dancing all around, and they're just giving you hot dogs and stuff. And then I went to an owl cafe where you get to, like, just play with owls and stuff. And then whatever owl you play with, you get to cook and eat.
No, that part, that last part.
That last part is fake. That last part is fake. Okay. That last part is fake. But.
Although you may be on to another great business. What's your favorite country of all the ones you've been to?
Japan was pretty awesome,
really?
I have to say. I loved, I went to Amsterdam, the Netherlands. That was very fun. It probably tied between Amsterdam and...
Did you find yourself over in the red light district?
I sure did.
Yeah. Funny how that happens.
I sure did.
Well, it's a good tourist.
We're looking for work, actually.
you go to the banana money. Go to the banana bar?
No, you know what? I never have. Oh. I've been a couple times. I never have, yeah.
You need to go there.
Are you well known outside of the United States, Eric Andre?
I don't think so.
Do people don't recognize you? So you?
Nah,
is it fun to be anonymous?
While,
again?
Once in a while, I mean, like, you know who notices me? Custom guards, like custom TSA and like custom officers from Two Broke Girls. Like I was like in Prague, and they were like Two Broke Girls. I was like, yeah, can I come into the country here?
Does that help or hurt?
It totally helps because I got them expunged, but I had a couple arrests on my record. So
okay.
They were just like, you know what? We're going to look past that.
This is the voice of Eric Andre here on the Kevin and Bean Show. Man Seeking Woman is Wednesday nights on FXX, and soon we will hear details about the return of the Eric Andre Show coming back for its fourth season. You have said in interviews, Eric, and I am fascinated by this, that you are trying to get enough money together to start a record label.
Yes.
Still true?
Yes, well, a fake record label.
Yeah, I was going to say, I could never take that seriously. I don't.
Yeah, I just want to put out my own horrible, horrible music.
Oh, okay, because I heard you said you wanted to put out awful music. I didn't know if it was music that you would make or if you were going to look for terrible bands to promote.
A little bit of both. It really, like, my own awful experimental garbage and, like, also bands that also don't want to make any money making music.
Okay.
Yeah, as long as you're okay not making a single dollar, I will sign you.
You have to have a lofty label. Goals when you start something like
yes,
that.
Yes, yes.
All right, this is going to be a tough question perhaps to answer, and I don't mean it to be that way, but what's
the difference?
Thank you. That was going to be it. What's the difference between, in your mind, experimental music that is worth releasing and listening to and experimental music that is just noise and garbage?
Oh, man. I mean, chicken or the egg. Am I right? I don't know. I guess
like
that
why do you want people to hear?
Beholder.
Why do you want people to hear music that you make that you yourself think is terrible? What's the draw?
Well,
I
make music that I like, but it's not commercially accessible. You know what I mean? It's just my own masturbatory nonsense.
And you play bass, right?
Yeah.
You sing too?
Poorly.
Okay.
In the shower.
Can I find some of that on YouTube? Can I find some Eric Andre sweet jams?
I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, anything I made music-wise, I made in high school and college, and it's like sitting in a box in my mom's garage. So
and you're going to wait until you can start your own bad label to put out your own bad music?
Yes, yes, yes. That's my goal.
What do you think of the Insane Clown Posse?
Love them.
I thought you would.
First,
I felt like that was your sweet spot.
Have you gone to the Gathering of the Jugglers?
No, I wish.
Oh, Eric.
Let's go.
I know.
That sounds like a documentary that you were born to make, is go to the Gathering, dude. Do you know those guys?
No, I wish. I love those guys.
I feel like you run in the big-time Hollywood celebrity circles. You would always become.
You know, I am known for running in the big-time celebrity Hollywood circles.
As
it's the first thing everybody says. As is Insane Clown Posse. It's me, Clooney, Brad Pitt, Jennifer Aniston, the Insane Clown Posse. We're just palling around at Trader Joe's every other weekend.
I hope that this conversation has inspired you to take some action toward going to the Gathering and getting with those guys, because I think that would be magic.
I will only come if you come with me.
Allie's willing to go. Allie said she'd go.
But I think being there would be... Oh,
well, I don't know. I don't think that's my crowd. Yeah.
No one would be more unhappy than being. That would be awesome.
No, yeah, you got to go.
You
do
have
a remote.
To go.
You got to do like a live special.
You have to do it.
What is the dream Eric Andre TV show? I feel like you get an awful lot of leeway to do what you think is funny on the Eric Andre show.
Yes.
Is there something, is there some other sort of project that you'd love to be able to do if you could find somebody to put it on?
I want to do my own Playgirl special. Well, I want to be a centerfold in Playgirl.
Sure. I don't know that they have those anymore. Is
they don't, maybe they don't.
Does that magazine
probably
still exist?
Do some research. Who knows? Who knows?
Something where you get naked is ideal for you.
Yes. I'm pretty satisfied with the Eric Andre show. I have carte blanche to do whatever I want. I don't think I'll ever have as much creative freedom as I do right now.
Oh, it's a miracle that's on the air.
It's a miracle.
It's a miracle.
It's 11 minutes of heaven. That's what it is.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right.
Much like me and you in the closet later, baby.
We got to take a quick break.
Oh, no, we don't.
I apologize that we do. Eric Andre is here. More in a moment with our guest right after this on K-Rock. Eric Andre in studio with us here on the Kevin and Bean Show, of course, for Man Seeking Woman. Very funny show on FXX Wednesday nights at 10:30. And the Eric Andre Show coming back soon. You're going into your fourth season. How many Eric Andre shows have you made already?
Who wants some bagels? That was my Ad Rock impression. Sorry.
See?
What?
How many have you made already? How many in a season?
There's 10 a season. Eric Andre shows 10 a season.
So you made 30 already. Okay.
Yes.
So you're just barely scraping the surface of people you want to get on that show. You got a crazy wish list then of people we might see in the future, right?
Yeah. Well, first of all, I want Screech now that I know he's
right?
The guy.
You should be his first interview once he gets out of jail.
Yeah. Man. Or interview him in jail, like when they interviewed Charles Manson on Dateline.
It's pretty much the same thing.
Yeah. pretty much identical.
I know people ask you this all the time, but I think our listeners will enjoy hearing. Who do you think most regrets having agreed to be a guest on the Eric Andre Show?
It has to be Lauren Conrad. Lauren Conrad walked out of the show because I barfed on the desk, and then I ate the barf back up.
Yeah.
And that was...
That got under her skin, believe it or not.
Yeah, what a surprise.
The confusion on her face and her looking over at her publicist. Like, what the hell is happening?
Yeah, she was going through a lot.
What percentage of guests don't know what they're in for? And what percentage
99%. I would say that it's a sliding scale. Like, 90% of the... It's a sliding scale. Like, I'm anywhere between... Stephen Colbert, where the guest knows, oh, okay, this guy's being a wacky weirdo, but I just have to deal with it. And the other end of the spectrum where it's Sacha Baron Cohen, where they have no idea. It's somewhere between Colbert and Cohen, where they have no idea what's going on. But I'd say 90, especially this season, we went really, really hard. We made sure not a single guest, I wouldn't even say hi to the guest until they were on camera. I want to say hi to them in the green room or backstage. Like, they were walking on, like, me greeting them is happening on camera, and they don't even know. We had one guest, Abby Lee Miller, who's a dance mom.
Right.
She came on, and she walked up. When she walked in the studio, she walked into my second AD, and she went, so what is this, like a cartoon, or? And we were just like, yes. We were like, fresh meat. So... These guests have no idea what's going on. Especially this year, we made sure, like, it was like a CIA operation. Tight-lipped.
Eric, if I can go back to the Lauren Conrad for a second, how much preparation and what did you do to be prepared to vomit on command?
Well, she was talking to my co-host Hannibal Buress, mm-hmm. and I had
the great Hannibal Buress.
And I had a little cup of oatmeal under my desk that she didn't see. So while she's talking to him and looking away, I put a bunch of oatmeal in my mouth. And then when she turned back to me to ask a question, I went, bah! And projectile vomited. But she had no idea. She thought it was real. She has no idea what's going on. We also don't run the air conditioning during the interview, so it's like boiling hot in the studio. That's where we're like everybody's sweating profusely. So it's a real torture chamber in there.
By the way, Hannibal sweats profusely even when he's not on TV or in the studio.
he's a pretty sweaty guy.
I don't know what's going on with that dude, but the temperature's not right.
Who knows?
Who got the rat surprise on your show?
Oh, Stacey Dash.
Yes.
Fox News correspondent Stacey Dash. We threw a bunch of We released a bunch of rats under her chair during her interview.
I want everybody who hasn't seen this show to stop and think about what we're talking about here.
It's pretty great.
That happened on TV.
She was freaked out. We also, Tashina Arnold from Everybody Hates Chris and Martin, we released a bunch of African hissing roaches.
like you do?
During her interview, and she did not return to her chair. She was very upset.
What did you do to Kimmel? Didn't you have somebody underneath the chair?
We had an intern underneath Kimmel's chair tickling his taint.
Because I looked at his face, I was like, what's happening?
I hope that your employee puts Tate Tickler on his resume for the rest of his life. And what happened to, I know something went wrong with T.I., but I don't know what.
T.I., there was a lot of male nudity during T.I.'s interview. Also, this season, I didn't, like, wear deodorant the entire season, and I grew up my fingernails like Howie Hughes, and I, like, didn't brush my hair or brush my teeth. I, like, stunk the entire season. So, not only do I smell like a barnyard, but, like, we have one P.A. that always comes out naked, and by that point in the interview, T.I. had a...
He had enough of it?
He had enough. Rightfully so.
Do that because you just want to see the guest reaction. You want to see how uncomfortable you can make them and what will they do.
We set out...
It's a social experiment.
Yeah, kind of. Well, I set out to be the worst talk show host of all time. That is like my goal. I want to be completely, completely incompetent and make the guest.
Is this how you grew up as a kid? Were you always looking for ways to... embarrass or surprise?
Yeah,
or make laugh
me and my friends were always like pranking each other and doing stuff like that.
Did your teachers like you in school, or were you the kid that they hated?
They were conflicted because I had straight A's, but I had like all F's in conduct. Like I had like the worst conduct grades. Detentions every day, Saturday detention. I got suspended for mooning my friends. I got suspended for not wearing shoes to school one time. I bashed my head through a glass pane one time and, like, cut my hands and my head open. And I was, like, going around the class going, stigmata.
Like you do.
Yeah. But you got straight A's, so they didn't know what to do with that?
Yeah, they didn't know what to do. They're like, I'd have parent-teacher conferences, and they'd be like, no, his grades are fine. He's just a dick.
I know you speak lovingly of your Jewish and Asian parents. How did they
react? Jewish and Haitian. Jewish and Asian.
Asian, right.
Wow. I'm like, was I adopted?
That's why you went to Japan.
Haitian. Asia, but it's next to Jamaica.
Right. How did they react? I mean, were they constantly frustrated and disappointed, or did they see that you also were a very bright, very creative person, and they kind of gave you a pass on the social problems?
They weren't thrilled when I was, like, mooning my friends or going to school barefoot and stuff like that.
Did they try and sit you down and say, look, you can't moon?
My mom tried to ground me once, and I was like, what are you talking about? I'm going to the mall. And she's like, whatever.
And she's the Asian one, right?
She's the Asian one, yeah. She got a very experimental plastic surgery to become Asian. She was Jewish, born Jewish, but she went through extensive plastic surgery to change her race.
What do they think of you now, Eric?
They hate me. No, they love me. Mom and dad love me.
They down with the show? They dig it?
Dad doesn't really get it. My dad's from Haiti, and he's like 200 years old. He's deaf in one ear. He loves Married with Children, Sanford and Son. He used to love The Cosby Show, R.I.P. But
your friend Hannibal took care of that.
Yes, yes.
Did you talk him into watching your show at least once?
My mom loves it. My mom totally gets it and loves it. She loves like prank shows and stuff like that. My dad just like does not, it just like washes over him. He has no idea what's going on.
No connection there at all.
No connection.
Does he deny your existence to his friends?
He denies my existence.
I don't know that guy.
No, he looks like Eric, but that's not Eric.
All right. He's very proud, but he has no idea what's happening.
I am sad that we are out of time here, but let's put in a quick plug for Mancy Woman because we have a very special Mike episode tonight. What's going on tonight?
Oh, yes. Mike... Rosa, Josh's love interest, my best friend's love interest, I kind of circle around Josh and we start making out and touching tongues. So, you know that song, She's My Best Friend's Girl, but She Used to Be Mine?
Right. By the Cars, yeah.
Kind of like that.
Okay.
I like the entire last episode. Almost to the end, all you said was for real. That was it.
Can I tell you, the season finale is a porno. Little spoiler alert.
Okay.
You know how they rate shows TVMA?
Yeah.
That one's rated TVX. It's the first in TV history.
Congratulations.
Full frontal. Yeah.
Nice. Thank you, FXX.
Well yes.
Man Seeking Woman Wednesdays at 10:30. Say goodbye to Eric Andre. Great to see you again.
Good to see you. Bye.
Take it, man.
Hey.
6.7 K-Rock, I don't think so. Is that one of them? I don't think so.
I thought it was one of them.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show at 8:55.
Our old friend Adam Carolla is joining us just after 9, and we have more tickets you can win to Coachella coming up. You know what we got to ask Adam about? Have we talked to Adam about Donald Trump since Trump has been doing the thing?
I don't think so.
Because remember, he was on the Celebrity Apprentice.
I bet he's voting for him.
He might be.
I think there's every possibility.
Well, we will discuss. That's all coming up. First, though, his former roommate, Ralph Garman, is here with another look at the Showbiz Beat on a Wednesday morning. What's going on?
No doubt, right? That's going on. Or not going on.
Or are they?
Because, you know, the other boys are sitting around saying, what's up? Gwen? Gwen's all like, oh, I'm roller skating over here. Don't mind me. Right? So what are they supposed to do? I'll tell you what they do. Davey Havoc. Boom. They're wreaking havoc. If that isn't the name of their band, I'm burning this mother effer down.
That's pretty strong.
Right? Wreaking havoc. Right?
Okay.
Right. By the way, is this true, Ralph? Did you hear what I heard that Gwen found out about it online? Like, she didn't even know that the other guys had been recording music with a different singer until she saw it on the internet.
I did see that, but I don't think that's their obligation to call her and say,
I think
hey,
it is.
We're going to. Why? You think she calls them every time she's going to do a solo record?
I do. Because they're best friends for 30 years, and I think you wouldn't want it to be misinterpreted as you've been fired. That's why I think the guys in the band call Gwen and go, hey, we're still down for No Doubt, if they are, but we have this time and we're going to make a record with Davey. I think that would be the courteous thing to do.
It's Am show I wrong? Business, not friend business.
Boom, yo!
All right.
Kevin, what do you think?
I think that's hopeful thinking. I don't think that's necessarily the case.
I don't get the sense that this side project is a No Doubt replacement.
Oh, no,
I don't
it's
either.
Not. It's not.
I don't either. So why would Gwen think that?
Because you want to make sure she doesn't think that you want to make sure she doesn't get the wrong impression.
But they're all so grown-ups.
Okay.
They go off and do other music.
But you know Bean, he cares a lot about people's feelings.
See, I'm very sensitive.
Bean doesn't understand how people work, and it confuses him. He's perplexed by the ways of man.
All right, if you read on the internet today that Kevin was doing an afternoon radio show with a whole other group of people at a whole other station, and he never said anything to you about it, you never heard about it until you saw it online, you would be like, hey, why didn't you tell me about that? Drop a dime.
Why would I be that way?
Because you'd want to hear about it from your friend who you work with.
But it's his life and his job and his thing that he's doing, right? I'm not involved in that.
No, you're not involved, but a heads up. I think a heads up so you don't find out about it the same time the public finds out about it.
What difference does it make when I find out about it? You're the only guy with need-to-know-first syndrome.
By the way, that is very true.
He's got it. He's got a terminal case of need-to-know-first syndrome.
Yeah. Allie, what do you think? Am I way off base here?
I think so.
Okay.
Yeah, I don't think they're the best of friends either.
I think they were in a band together and they're friendly, but they're all off doing things. They have lives and children
Absolutely.
And stuff and music, and they're off doing things.
Okay. All right, so what's the latest?
Example. Kevin Smith is doing a new show on AMC with Greg Grunberg. They're doing a show called Geeking Out, where they're doing all the geek news through or pop culture news through a geek lens or however they're framing the story. Kevin didn't come to me and say, I've got a new show I'm going to be doing over at AMC with Greg Grunberg.
Just heads up so you
know.
He didn't
give me a heads up or nothing. I found out in the trades with the rest of the world.
Well, then you should be deeply hurt.
Why would I be?
You should be deeply hurt.
The first thing I did when I got the news was I tweeted out, congratulations, these guys are going to crush it. I'll be watching this show.
Bean wants Bean, you to be
Kevin's got
hurt.
A lot of projects he does with a lot of people, and I've got my own stuff that I do. I don't call him up and say, hey, Kevin, I'm on my way to do Family Guy. See you later. Kisses, hugs. What's wrong with you?
I'm all about protecting hearts, Ralph.
You know that.
That's,
Bean.
That's true.
That's what I'm
about.
Look, if I'm guilty of anything, it's loving too much.
You're right, a weird dude. We need a new segment just called Bean is Wrong.
That's every segment.
That's true. What am I thinking? Anyway, the goal goes back to this fact, which is, and remains so to be, forsooth, and to wit, Davey Havoc and the boys from No Doubt are putting together a little project and they're doing some music.
Stab and Gwen in the back. Got it.
For F's sake. So, Davey Havoc was talking to our very own Stryker here on K-Rock the other day about this project, and we've got a lot of, if you didn't get a chance to hear it, here's Davey Havoc from AFI talking to our own Stryker.
That thing with you and Tony and Tom and Adrian, that's happening, mm-hmm. right? That's for sure?
Yes, absolutely. Just to clarify, I'm not singing for No Doubt.
No, this is a whole separate project. And is there a band name yet for that?
We do not have a name yet, but we have a lot of great songs that I'm really excited about.
Okay, so it's true. You have songs that are fully complete or only half complete?
We have songs that are fully complete.
A little bean action coming from Stryker.
That's a strange
what
question.
What percentage complete would you say the songs are that you're working on?
But there is...
Would you say you are in a band or you're not in a band? Just to clarify, there are some songs that have been recorded that are partially or completely recorded by a band that is not No Doubt.
They don't have a band name yet, though, Ralph, so there's still time for that.
Wreaking Havoc, yo!
And Bean had a great band name as well.
I'm still throwing Bro Doubt out there. I still think Bro Doubt is the answer.
Because it was No Doubt, but Bro Doubt.
With a dude! Come on, at least in the conversation, right?
It's pretty good, Bean.
All right, back to you.
You get out.
Sorry.
Right.
Sometimes he just knocks the wind out of you. That's all I'm saying. It's like a solar
plexus. I made a lot of
shot.
Good points today.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
He's really been working the body over lately.
It really is. It's like, ooh. kidney, liver.
What the hell?
I got to take a knee.
Give me a break.
O'Shea Jackson Jr. is 25 years old today.
Let's hear it for O.J. Jackson Jr.
I don't believe O.J.
And he's Ice Cube's son,
right,
star of Straight Outta Compton.
Cube in Straight Outta Compton, right.
Right.
25 years old today. Floyd Mayweather Jr. is 39 years old today. Billy Zane. Oh, the Zanester. I'm a Zaniac. That's what his fans are called, Zaniacs. He's 50 years old today. And
remind me who that is again.
He's Billy Zane, Titanic, the Phantom.
He's the man who invented Booyah.
No, he did not invent Booyah. And Kristen Davis. There's some now debate on whether her birthday was today or yesterday. There's a lot of there's a Twitter beef going on about whether her birthday was today or yesterday. So I found it both online. So I wish I could give you a definitive answer, but I can't. So if you know Kristen Davis, please have her call in. So we can get to the bottom of this birthday gate, which is what most of the press is calling it right now.
I don't think it's that big a deal.
Either way, she's 51 either today or yesterday. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Congratulations to Matt Cardiff from Ventura. Won tickets for all 3 days of Coachella and qualified to see any band that's playing at Coachella anywhere they're playing in the world.
That is a sweet prize. Keep listening for your chance to win the same thing coming up, I think, at 2 o'clock this afternoon on K-Rock. I love our next guest, our friend Adam Carolla. He's been a good friend of the Kevin and Bean Show for many, many years. You can see him live on stage and in person at the El Portal Theater in North Hollywood coming up this Saturday night at 8 with special guest Soledad O'Brien. She's the news lady, right, Adam?
Yeah, she was on NBC, HBO, CNN for a million years. She does Real Sports. She has a Peabody.
Wow.
Why are you so... Oh, I thought you were judging her figure.
No, she won a journalist award. That's impressive. Wow. What the hell is she doing slumming with Adam Carolla?
I don't know. I do know. I'm doing her event. Her event is for the military, like Wounded Warrior thing, like on Monday. So we turned the tables on her and said, if you're going to be in town for this thing and you want me to do your event, you got to come slum it with me. So she's up on stage, and Fitzdog, you're out.
That'll be fun. That's this Saturday night again in North Hollywood. Tickets available through AdamCarolla.com. I know that this is going to come up when you have Soledad on, But I can't resist the urge, Adam, to talk to you today about Donald Trump.
Okay.
Because he's a phenomena. He won Nevada yesterday. He's now won New Hampshire, South Carolina, and Nevada. No candidate has ever won three of the first four primaries and not gone on to get their party's nomination. It's looking very much like he will be a choice in November to vote for president. You spent some time with Donald Trump on The Celebrity Apprentice, and I don't know that we've ever talked much about that. Tell me, just fill me in on your impressions of your time with Trump.
He is like a very skilled prostitute in that they make you feel like you're the only one they've ever been with, and they would do it for free if the union wasn't so strong and didn't demand a tip and $2,000 an hour. So, like, he literally just walks up to you. I remember it was me and him and Gloria Estefan did The Marriage Ref. Remember that show from a few years ago?
Yeah, the one that Seinfeld came up with, right.
Right. So, you know, it was me, Trump, and the lead singer from the Miami Sound Machine. So get ready, funny, here we come. And he just walked up to me backstage, and he put his arm around me. He said, this show's going to be number one. You check the ratings. I guarantee this will be the highest rating, highest rated episode they have. And I just remember thinking, how do you know? And then based on what? Me and Gloria or you and Gloria? And then I remember feeling good. Like, I went like, yeah, feels nice to have a guy, you know, in a world where everyone's wringing their hands going, oh, my God, what are we going to do about ISIS? He just slaps his arm around you and goes, don't worry, we're number one. And then he walks away.
Look, he's a guy who, I think, honestly believes his own hype. I don't think he's lying when he's up on stage saying he's going to be the best president there ever was and the economy is going to do better than it's ever done and people are going to live and be happier better than I mean, I honestly think he believes it. And I don't know if he's subscribing to The Secret or something. He thinks if he says it out loud, it can't not happen.
Yeah, but I don't, like, I think next week on The Marriage Ref, it was Andy Dick and Mickey Dolenz from the Monkees, and they beat us. They doubled our rating. That's, I think, what the problem's going to be. But I also say to people, I mean, you guys are in the music industry. Everyone wants to know the appeal of Trump, and I always say, as Americans, when we get enough hair bands, when we get enough Cinderellas, when we get enough warrants and enough eyeliner on dudes, in comes Nirvana, in comes the grunge. That's what we want. When we get enough of this, we want that. And right now, he is the opposite of what we've had over the last 8 years, and that's all we do. We'll switch back when we're done with him.
Are you surprised he's gotten this far without imploding?
I don't think there's such a thing as imploding anymore if you're Donald Trump, because now you're Donald Trump. See, once you get to this status, it's my Snoop Dogg smoke weed theory of life, which is if I light up a doobie at an airport or in the green room of Kimmel's show, someone's going to walk in and go, hey, what are you doing? No, we're going to get out of here. Or we're going to arrest you. We're going to call the cops. If you walk in and Snoop Dogg is not smoking a doobie, you're disappointed.
I think you're right. We're talking to Adam Carolla here at the Kevin DeBede Show. You can see him at the El Portal Theater, North Hollywood, this Saturday night, adamcarolla.com. He's doing his live podcast show with Soledad O'Brien. You know, you mentioned the last 8 years. I'm going to say I think you're 100% right with the American public wants something different, and it's the last 25 years that they're ready, tired of. They're tired of Bushes. That hurt Jeb Bush. They're tired of Clintons. That's hurting Hillary a lot. And you're right. Good or bad, he's at least something different. But how do you feel? I mean, he thinks he can run the government like he runs his businesses, and he's going to find out on day one it doesn't work that way. You can't, as president, force Apple to build their stuff in America. He's going to run into a lot of things where it doesn't work just because he wants to do it. How's he going to handle that?
I interviewed him on my podcast, and he's like, I'm going to build a moat around Mexico, and I'm going to get them to dig it for me. And I'm like, how are you going to get them? Don't worry about it. I'll handle it.
That's always his answer.
Right. I got this. Listen, I built a golf course. You don't think I can get a country to build a fence around itself? Well, no. It's different.
Adam, do you think he will be president?
Boy, let's see. Yeah, I do. I why wouldn't I? I mean, it's a weird thing. It's this thing where you start off the season and you think this team has no shot at going to the Super Bowl, and now that they're, you know, if Trump was that team, he'd be 11-0 right now, and we have to change and recalibrate and kind of go, look, we got to stop talking about them not having a shot at the Super Bowl.
This is the Panthers. This is everybody trying to get their head around the fact that the Panthers were as good as the Panthers were. Every week they would win, and every week we'd go like, yeah, but they're still the Panthers, right?
Right.
But then what happened in the Super Bowl?
I'm rooting for the Broncos.
All right, last question for you, Adam. And I'm sorry to go so wonky on this, but I'm so fascinated with this whole primary and this whole Trump phenomena. And that is, as president, you got a lot of handcuffs on. How much can he hurt us? In other words, will the checks and balances weigh out so even if he's president, he can't do stupid things?
I don't think you have enough power as president. I mean, look, I just heard last night that Obama really wanted to focus on shutting down Guantanamo Bay, which is something he was talking about 8 years ago.
Yeah, yeah.
When he was, and he's like, I always, you know, the part I love about when they're doing the speeches is like, you know what I do day one? Day one, I shut down Guantanamo Bay.
Right.
And then 7,000 days later, it's like, we need to have a conversation about shutting down Guantanamo Bay. So,
and by the way, still not going to happen.
I don't think anything's going to happen, but I will say the one unintended consequence that will be a positive is a lot of the crazy nations we have to deal with, like China and Russia and parts of Korea, will be scared of him because they think he's an insane person.
Yeah.
Like, when they see Billy Carter, or Jimmy Carter, sorry, that was his drunken brother with the beer. When they see Jimmy Carter in there, they're like, screw this guy, let's take some hostages. We'll roll right over this dude. He's a punk. When they see Trump, they're like, I don't know, he might build a golf course around us.
So finally, we get to be the country that has the crazy dictator that the rest of the world has to fear.
You know,
that's pretty good.
Scared of everybody because Putin, his shirt's off, he's on a horse.
And think about our potential first lady.
Oh yeah.
That's going to be pretty
sweet.
Thank
you, Kevin, for bringing it around so that we can end on a happy note.
Right? Because the only immigrant that he likes.
That's right. She is the best-looking first lady in history. All right, Adam, great to chat, my friend. We'll look forward to Saturday night, El Portal Theater, North Hollywood. Tickets on sale now, adamcarolla.com, with special guest Soledad O'Brien. Great to talk to you, sir. Thanks for coming on.
Are you voguing?
I'm voguing.
But the end vogue was...
A little special touch of my own at the end of the vogue.
I didn't love the end.
Yeah.
That is Muse from the album they won the Grammy for, by the way, for Best Rock Album. So congratulations to Muse. Ralph is here now. Time for a final look at the Showbiz Beat here on a Wednesday morning. Kevin Bean Show, what's going on?
Let's talk TV a little bit, shall we? Mm-hmm.
All right, please.
I just caught up on the most recent episode of Billions last night.
Okay.
And... another in the further adventures of how wrong Bean is. But Bean's complaint about that show is that you can't root for anyone. There's no one to root for in that show.
Right. It says there's nobody likable.
I could not disagree more strongly. Last night I was watching the show. I was catching up. And I was like, these guys are two alpha males just at the top of their game. But they just happen to be at cross purposes. And the hard part is to choose who not to root for because they're both so awesome.
They're
awesome.
They're both... dicks,
no, they're not
they
at all.
Are. I agree
they're
with
champions.
You. I agree
champions.
With you that they are alpha males at the top of their games who are both very good at their jobs. But along with that comes a scorched earth policy where they don't care who they trample, who they hurt, or who they bankrupt.
Not true at all.
Only 100% true.
They protect their families, themselves. They're loyal to the people they work with. And they both believe in their heart of hearts they're doing absolutely the right thing. What could be more noble for a man, for a position for a man to take? They just happen to be at cross purposes, and that's therein lies the drama.
How many episodes have you watched, Bean?
I've seen them all. I think we're five in or something like that. And I agree, that's absolutely the drama is for folks who aren't familiar with the show. Is it HBO or Showtime, Ralph? Who's
HBO.
Got it? HBO.
No, Showtime. I'm sorry. My bad. Showtime.
So Paul Giamatti is playing a district attorney in New York who is convinced for good reason that the character played by Damian Lewis, who's a big stock trader, is doing illegal things, getting inside information. So he's trying to bust him, trying to bring him down. And it's a cat and mouse game about those two going at each other, one trying to avoid, one trying to prosecute. And it is fascinating. That is the drama. But they both are such despicable people.
They're not at all despicable. That's the insanity of you. They're both amazing. Paul Giamatti's character, District Attorney Rhodes, believes in his heart of hearts he's absolutely doing the right thing by protecting the people and pursuing the letter of the law. That's a noble. That's not despicable at all. And Bobby Axelrod thinks that he's making money for his people. He came from nothing. He made something from himself. He's using every tool at his disposal to provide for the people who he invests money for and to protect his family and the people that work for him, who he's desperately loyal to and expects the same.
Look, I'm watching the show. What else do you want me to do?
Stop
complaining? Not be wrong, I guess, is what I'm asking you to not be wrong. That's what I'm begging you to do. Not don't be wrong.
All right, and you as well.
Anyway, it's an awesome show. If you're not watching, you should be. It's just terrific.
There's some great actors, though.
TV last night, I was watching NCIS for the first time because John Cryer was on it. I wanted to catch his episode. Very entertaining show. We were talking about how it was in the top 10. CBS had all the top 10 shows last week. The week before, and
of the Grammys, right?
No,
nope.
not to be in the mix at all.
Between the Super Bowl and the Grammys, they had all the and three NCIS shows, and none of us had ever seen a minute of any of the NCIS shows. So
John DeFran, I said, here's my opportunity to expose myself to the magic that is NCIS. And I didn't know that Donald Belisario was involved, who created Magnum P.I., one of my favorite shows of all time. Thank you. Oh, Magnum. I just could say that every day for the rest of my life. Oh, Magnum. But it's really entertaining. Great
is it
cast,
like
really well done?
Is it like a CSI-type show?
It's not as science-y.
All right. It's a procedural, though.
It's a procedural drama. It's they're law enforcement for the Navy, and they were, in this particular case, pursuing a bunch of gun runners who had stolen a cachet of naval weapons, and they were trying to hunt them down.
And John Cryer was a bad guy?
No, he was a doctor who had saved Mark Harmon's life in a previous episode, and they've become friends since. So he was sort of helping with the investigation. And it was really, really good. I really enjoyed it.
So you're going to keep watching?
No. But I'm saying, I'm glad I spent that hour of my time with NCIS. So there you go.
There are so many shows that are on that are incredibly popular that I don't know anyone who watches them. Madam Secretary comes to mind, by the way, is another one.
Yeah, they're not getting me. They're not getting me. That show's not getting me. I'm not biting.
What if John Cryer guest stars on it?
I've done my due diligence, I think, with my friendship with John, and I think I'm good. But it made me think of this story, which is Charlie Sheen, who has a little history with John Cryer, of course, from Two and a Half Men.
Sure.
Remember when he just went nuts and he went on a tirade after getting fired from that show? And
sure.
He went on his My Violent Torpedo of Truth Defeat is Not an Option tour. Remember that?
I'm 18, bro.
He would go on stage and just talk to the audience, and they would be unhappy with him and boo.
Winning.
Him. Yeah. Now we know why. Now we know what the problem was.
What is it?
Testosterone cream. Apparently, Charlie was overdosing on testosterone cream. He said he believes he went too far with the hormone treatment, and he felt constant highs and lows and emotional roller coasters, something he called a roid disengage, which isn't a thing, but that's what he calls it. And he says now he looks back on that entire period of his life, and it makes him cringe because he can't believe how he was behaving.
I'm sorry, man. I got magic, and I got poetry at my fingertips.
And a lot of cream on his fingertips, apparently, that he was slathering all over his body. So
losers winning.
Don't overdo on the testosterone cream, is what we're saying. That's the
moral. I didn't know that was a possible bad thing.
I had no idea that was a thing.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh. Duh. What does the...
Everyone stop moaning.
Stop it.
What was the... Forgive me, I don't know. The intended use of this testosterone cream. Like, why do you use it?
Well, some use it in a... You're supposed to use it if you have a testosterone deficiency, if you have low levels of T.
And why is that bad? Why is it bad to have low levels of T?
Because it tends to produce weight gain in men. You can have because your hormones are out of balance, you can have an overabundance of estrogen. It can cause breast enlargement.
Lack of
libido.
Mm. Okay.
There's a lot of side effects of low testosterone. Low energy, belly fat, that sort of thing. So you want to keep your testosterone levels high as you get into middle age, and some have a normal level of testosterone. If you have a lower level, then you use this as a supplement.
Gotcha.
Some, however, misuse it for workout purposes to augment muscle development and growth and stuff, and maybe he was doing that trying to bulk up and work out or something. I don't know. But
newsflash, I am special, and I will never be one of you.
That's true. He will never be
one
of us.
Oh, dear.
But now he has an excuse, which I think is good for Charlie to have more excuses.
Took him a while to come up with it.
Yeah. Well, he's looking back.
I'm cured. I'm done.
He's cured. He's done.
Oh, my God.
Okay. We get it.
Calling back once again to earlier in the show. Remember when we almost ran onto the radio reef that would have been talking to Miss America about pancakes?
Yeah.
Remember when we almost ran aground? But we were able to dodge that bullet thanks to our
remember
listeners?
That?
That was close.
Why don't we talk instead to Miss Earth New Zealand?
Miss Earth New Zealand.
That's right.
Go on.
That's a thing?
Miss Earth New Zealand. Nella Zizzer is her name.
I'm assuming.
Is not only a former beauty competition winner,
mm-hmm.
but...
She a hippie?
She's not a hippie. Oh. Once again, Earth doesn't mean hippie,
it
Kevin.
It totally does.
No,
yeah.
It doesn't.
I agree.
Miss Earth. It's like Miss Earth. Universe, Miss World.
No,
Miss...
I think Ranola. No, I think patchouli.
Miss Earth, Miss
Earth,
New Zealand.
Hair. Yeah.
But damn, besides being a beautiful 23-year-old model and former beauty pageant winner, she's also a competitive eater. And she's a record-setting competitive eater.
Go on.
Last summer, she gulped down 5 Subway foot-long sandwiches in less than 10 minutes. Ate 5 foot-long Subways in less than 10 minutes. This week, she upped the ante.
That wasn't enough?
10 footlongs. 10 footlongs, including meatball, steak and cheese, and teriyaki chicken, and did 10 in less than 10 minutes.
No.
Yummy.
No way.
That's impossible.
Not for.
Ralph is just telling you it happened.
Nayla Zisser.
Is there video?
Nayla Zisser, there is video. Allie. And Bean knows he's bored with it already.
I saw yesterday. I saw yesterday. The model that ate 10 Subway footlongs. How is she?
First and he's bored with the story. So move on.
How is she at the Brentwood? Hello, does it say?
Oh my goodness! See, you have to ruin a perfectly wholesome story.
Bean talk first.
Bean talk first.
I'm happy to have her on though to have producer Dave reach out and try to get her.
Let's get her on.
Yeah, absolutely.
And let's make her eat a footlong. Bring in a couple Subways and just watch her knock them back. Now that's entertainment.
For us.
So take Miss America and your pancakes and stick it. Because I got Miss Earth New Zealand down in a foot long.
What does that people... Did that blow your mind?
Right.
That just happened.
That's how you...
People eating on the radio. It. That's the future.
Says the guy that wanted...
No, he wants someone to talk about eating on the radio.
I can't.
Right?
I can't.
Yep. Yes.
Right.
Right.
Yep.
Today's celebrity birthdays.
Right.
Kristen Davis may or may not be celebrating a birthday today. She's 51.
It's unclear.
Today or yesterday. Billy Zane is 50 years old today. Floyd Mayweather Jr. turns 39. And O'Shea Jackson Jr.
Let's hear it for O.J. Jackson Jr.
Or O.J. Jackson Jr. if you're LL Cool J. 25 years old today. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Take her off tomorrow morning on all-new Kevin and Bean Show. We talk to Jim Rome like we do on Thursdays.
Now we're done.
We also talk to Dr. Drew on the program tomorrow. I believe we're going to talk about porn addiction.
Yeah, Terry Crews, one of our favorites from Brooklyn Nine-Nine, did a series of Facebook videos this week where he talked about his crippling porn addiction that he had to go to rehab for.
It crippled him? He's in a wheelchair?
Well,
that's some serious porn.
Also, a brand new Internet Roundup, and Kumail Nanjiani will join us as well tomorrow morning on an all-new Kevin and Bean Show.
Kevin!
Thank you. Nice.
Thank you. Thank you.